He's breaking up left and right.
Brown Lodge, I'm losing you there, buddy. Losing you. You losing you, Brown Lodge.
Yeah, no, we're back with you. We think you have a faulty phone connection of some sort there as you're joining us here on this fine evening. Is this a cellular phone device that you're using, my friend?
Yes, it is. It's one of these mobile telephones.
Excellent. So you can use it while you're actually moving is the concept behind it.
I'm actually driving and talking at the same time. The law recommends that you do not do this. It is quite dangerous. It is equivalent to drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels and driving at the same time.
Indeed.
Give us a yeehaw for technology.
Yeah, give us a good yeehaw for technology, if you would.
Oh, y'all want a good yeehaw for technology?
Why not? See, I got to be honest with you, Yeehaw guy. That was more of a yaha, but it was fantastic work. I really want.
I loved it.
I think he can hit a real severe, serious yeehaw, and I got to be honest, I love this.
More like Minnie Pearl.
Are y'all asking me to get another yeehaw in?
I'm asking you to get a yeehaw in because, like I said, I don't mean to be judgmental of your craft because obviously.
You're telling me I'm giving out. Yaha.
The last thing I heard was a yaha. It might have been, you know what, it was probably that cellular phone, that technological...
Listen, lazy, unmotivated, fat bastard. Damn. Let me give it to you right now.
See, now I stand corrected. The gentleman has obviously been saying yeehaw the whole time. Oh, you wait to hear the crash any second after that.
He has to take his eyes off the road to do that yeehaw.
I honestly don't even think he has his eyes open. It has nothing to do with him being on the road. If you're really yeehawing and giving it to you, I mean, like, personally, I couldn't do it.
He's riding a horse up the median.
You know what happens? You give a yeehaw, you close your eyes, you get some air in your lungs, and you just belt it out.
I would tend to think, is there a physical explosion that happens or something, some sort of motion that happens while you're yeehawing?
Orgasm. Did we lose him?
I think we lost him. That's very disappointing because I was really enjoying the Yeehaw guy.
Damn, that was awesome.
I'm hoping the Yeehaw guy will be calling us back. He's maybe he'll be a new fixture here on the Brown Lodge. Who knows? God only knows.
He's still there. He's still there.
I'm still here.
That magic is
still
here.
I'm going to lose you, Brown Lodge. I'll touch back with you guys pretty soon.
Yeah, feel free, my friend. Join us whenever you can and just chime in. Let us know how to yee, how to ha, and how to put it all together as a yeehaw. One more time.
Hey, who's that little guy next to you?
Hey.
That little guy next to me, that's my buddy Runner. You know all about him. You see him on the webcam here. On the
Runner.
What's that?
Runner?
No, as in one that moves quickly.
Romer.
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right, boys, I'm going to sign off here, and I guess I'll talk to you boys pretty soon.
Fantastic, brother. Thank you so much for calling and joining the show. Feel free to chime in whenever you'd like to.
Will do, yeah.
One more for the fans out there that love
you. Yo.
That was a perfect yeehaw to end off on. Excellent. The Yeehaw guy joining us here on the Brown Lodge, exclusively on RadioBBQ.net. You can check us out on the AOL Instant Messenger at the Brown Lodge. You should also check out the chat room, RadioBBQ Chat. What else could you do? You could Skype us up at RUNNDOGG, and you can call us on the hotline, 718-360-1413. We had a crazy introduction there. I don't know if I ever got it out there.
Seriously, that was great.
Yeah, it definitely
That's exactly
is.
What we've been looking for.
The Yeehaw guy. God bless him. My name's Chris.
How did he know I was a little guy? He's got an internet capability built into his horse?
I suppose. He's got one of them newfangled Wi-Fi horses. I'm sure the Yeehaw guy... I'm sure the Yeehaw guy... That's what I was looking for. I'm sure the Yeehaw guy has actually checked out the show before, just sat at home and was practicing his Yeehaws and waiting until he could have his moment in the sun.
Oh, yeah.
Which, I mean, who wouldn't?
We don't even practice for the show.
Hey, that's not true. We practice twice. Give or take, one and a half times. My name is Chris. His name is Runner.
Hello.
The other guy's name is instant message from his girlfriend sitting on my screen saying Keith is still at work.
Right now?
Apparently. So I do not believe that he'll be joining us at this point. Hopefully he'll be joining us later in the show. I haven't had a chance to type back to her to let her know.
Does he stay public all the way back home?
I don't believe so. No. If he had to take public from the other side of the island, we wouldn't see him ever. Because he usually gets out at 7:30. He wouldn't get home till like 8:45. Well, that's
it's a pretty crazy ride.
Yeah. Who knows?
From a job he doesn't have.
Exactly. That doesn't exist. The Brown Lodge, exclusively on RadioBBQ.net. The Yeehaw guy just totally took me out of where I was at, and I really love that. You know, I had an interesting conversation today at the office, as we were talking about me being fat and lazy and ill-equipped for the job that I have. I was working...
Not a good sign.
What? What do you mean?
Check and see if your cam works. They say the only the right cam works. We have to be our own technical... No, everything looks good.
We are the right cam. I am the right cam. You're the left cam.
Mine doesn't work?
I don't know. Are you on the page? Yeah, we're magical.
Oh, wait. I didn't have it counted down. Sorry. How you doing?
Wee.
How you doing, everybody? It's fixed.
Excellent, excellent. I'm getting instant messages left and right. I just got an instant message from a gentleman that I saw on the E-train earlier today, who is actually what I was just about to bring up. This is really crazy. I was working today, as I said, riding on the coattails of one of those better equipped to be working than I today. And as we're sitting on the train, I'm having this conversation with the guy that I work with about Oscar-winning films and about films that have won the Oscars and things like that for no apparent reason. Basically, the thing is, I'm new at this job. You know, I'm new to these people. Some of them, actually. Some of the people I've known for quite some time there. But this guy that I was with today is someone that I've only known, you know, maybe the month that I've been at this new job. And as we're talking, we're having this this conversation back and forth. You know, we have... discussions about, you know, best movie ever, best song ever, best whatever, soft drink ever, best everything, because that's just every conversation I have. It has to be some sort of ridiculous list of something somehow, where I talk about something being in the top 10 of whatever it is that I'm interested in at that moment. Oh, God, roast pork lo mein is in top, top 10 Chinese food ever. You know?
Chicken fried rice.
But it's okay, I'll give you chicken fried rice in the top 10, but roast pork lo mein definitely like top 3 of the top 10. It's noodles, it's pork, it's flavor.
It is good.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I wouldn't put in top 3. But anyway, go on with your story.
So, but whatever. So, much of these conversations, we're having the conversation, we're talking about movies. And as we're talking about movies, I'm getting mad because we're talking about, we start talking about, like, some of the greatest films of all time. And the movie that I throw out there is Raging Bull. Do you agree, disagree with Raging Bull, one of the greatest films of all time?
I think it is one of the greatest films of all time. I can't argue there.
Okay, so the thing is, so as we're talking about it, I bring up Raging Bull as being one of my favorites of all time. And the guy that I'm working with says to me, dude, that's not even in the top 10 best sports movies of all time, let alone top 10 of all time. Then he goes so far as to say, it's not even in the top 10 boxing movies of all time.
Oh, my God.
So I'm starting to get crazy at this point. I'm starting to get frantic. I know he's trying to be that guy as he's saying this, because you know it's at least the greatest boxing movie of all time. To which he responds, no, it's not, because I even tell him, like, dude, you're trying to be that guy who just wants to be, you know, you just want to disagree with me at this point, which he does have a tendency to do, and it's kind of funny that he does it, because you know he's doing it over the top, especially when he called out that Million Dollar Baby was the greatest boxing movie of all time during the conversation. And then he says, no, but...
I heard it's a great movie.
I don't know. I didn't see it. I'm not a big fan of new movies because I have to leave my house to go see them. Oh. Wait for them to come out on cable. But so in the conversation we start talking, he says, "All right, Rocky is a better boxing film." It's just like, wait a minute. Like Rocky, I understand is a good time. And don't get me wrong, I have the DVD box set of it at home. Love the movie, but one of the best of all time. I think it's going a bit overboard. Maybe, okay, one of the best boxing movies of all time. Probably not one of the best sports movies. Definitely not one of the best movies of all time. And then he's talking about, what do you mean it's not one of the best movies of all time? It's an Oscar winner. It's like, Rocky is an Oscar winner? And this is the instant message I got a couple minutes ago from this gentleman that I saw on the train earlier today, who was so intrigued by our conversation that he said, I hear you talking about your radio show. I got to know, you know, how to check you guys out later. So I let him know. And hopefully he's a new member of the Radio BBQ family, enjoying everything that we're doing here. Nine to five. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, magically, 9 to 5.
Hey, Chris, did you hear about that thing that just happened?
No, Radio BBQ, not us. We're only here a couple hours a week.
What days would that be?
That would be Monday and Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10, well, 10-something, because we never stay to 10, because we're jerks that overstay our welcome as much as we can. And on Saturday, you can hear the best of. And if you like any of the other stuff you hear, you can check out what we have in the archives on our website, thebrownlodge.com. So he says to me, dude, It's an Oscar-winning film. Do you believe Rocky to be an Oscar-winning film? We're not talking best cinematography. We're not talking...
Rocky makes me cry.
You're not talking about the...
I seriously love that movie.
Best... Okay, I'm not saying that it's not a lovable movie. Adrian, he did it. I know. I feel. I told you. I have
he
the
didn't
DVD
do it
box.
Rocky. That's the great part.
But he did it. He did do it. Just because he didn't win the championship, he did it.
But usually everything ends on a happy note. Hey, I'm champion.
Dude, what are you talking about? The fact that this up-and-coming nobody went the distance with the champion, heavyweight champion of the
Dude,
world?
I'm in tears by the end of that movie. You can't
But that's
say
what I'm saying. So he did do it. Just because he didn't win the title doesn't mean he didn't do it.
Okay,
so, well, the
everybody
whole...
Everybody does it.
So the thing...
Do you do it?
So he says to me, it's an Oscar-winning film. Do you believe this to be an Oscar-winning film?
Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
So I say to him, dude, you're out of your mind. It's not an Oscar-winning film. Raging Bull, Oscar-winning film. Rocky, not an Oscar-winning film.
If Rocky did win Oscars.
Puts his hand out to me and says, $5 bet. I have to think about it and say, damn it. Do I know for a fact that it's not a... I'm saying, you know what? It's probably like the best screenplay. I don't think it's a best picture.
Oscar is an Oscar.
No, we were talking best picture. Because like I said, we're not talking best cinematography or
you
best
actress. You specified best picture.
We said best picture. Shook hands on the bet. I got to pay this bastard $5 tomorrow because in 1976, Rocky won the best picture. I'm stunned. I'm not shocked.
I'm not shocked.
I'm totally shocked. I didn't think it was an Oscar-winning film.
Absolutely amazing film.
Want to hear one more? Raging Bull did not win the Best Picture Oscar. It only won best actor and some other thing.
Like 82, 81.
81, 82, something like that. Best adaptation. It lost to Chariots of Fire, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. So that's 81. Or was it Gandhi that it won to? That's on. You sound a little low. Is it just me? We should get some races going at some point.
Some racism going?
No. Not some racism. Oh. Hold that thought. Oh. No. We should get some races, maybe. Some Chariots of Fire. But yeah, so that got me crazy. I can't even believe it. And it made me think about Oscar-winning films. It got me thinking about the stuff. Because I couldn't believe who actually won and who didn't win and things like that. So I was just going to run down a list of like maybe the last 20 years, if you don't mind. And I'm curious to find out which Oscar-winning films you've seen. / enjoyed, / haven't enjoyed, things like that, just things that piqued my curiosity,
if
you will.
I will give you my opinion.
Okay, in the 2000s, this is only updated to 2002.
2000.
Be careful, we might get sued for that.
Really?
Nah, I doubt it. Oh. Gladiator.
Sorry.
2001, did you enjoy it?
Yes.
Okay, we agree there. 2001, A Beautiful Mind, as Russell Crowe takes over the 2000s.
Saw it.
Enjoyed that as well?
Yes.
Okay. Chicago, 2002.
Saw it.
No.
Yeah.
Ew. Enjoyed it?
Yeah.
Ew. I'm going to mark a little something here. The fact that it's my ew is my announcement. I'm really creeped out that you saw Chicago.
Well, we get the hot box, you know. It's playing a lot.
I had that same hot box. I would never watch Chicago. Never had an interest. Hey, these things happen. It's fun. Let's jump into the 90s. I'll go actually, I guess, chronologically backwards. 1999, American Beauty.
Love it.
Probably top 5, but maybe top 10 of all time, but top 5 to top 10 of all time. Love the film. Fantastic. Shakespeare in Love.
Never saw it.
Nor did I. I hate it. Anything about love or Shakespeare, I'm against.
It's way too gay.
Yeah. Well, you know, gay doesn't necessarily mean bad, just don't like it. I don't care for the film. Titanic?
Saw it. Only part that I laughed during was when the people were falling onto the steam pipes and everything. Yeah. And people were, like, bawling, didn't care.
Do you not seem to recall Kate Winslet's ample bosom as she was being painted?
Yeah.
Was she being painted, or was she just...
Yeah, he was painting.
Yeah, that's hot stuff.
Nah.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the Titanic. The English Patient?
I tried to sit through that. I
didn't even make an attempt.
Yeah, nah.
Braveheart?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Liked the movie. Liked the movie a lot, but I don't know if I would consider that a top... I'd probably put that top 50 if I had to throw it all time. It's a good movie. Honestly, I put Gladiator above it. That's where I'm at with it.
I bought them both on DVD. I like them
more. I own them both on DVD as well, in DVD format. 1994, Forrest Gump.
I like it.
Most overrated pile of crap on the face of the planet.
Way.
Can't stand it. Loved it when
it's a good movie.
Loved it when I saw it in the theaters. Watched it again when it was on cable maybe a year and a half, 2 years ago. Just happened to be on one day. Hated it. Absolutely hated it. Didn't know what I even liked about it in the first place. Made me mad. The only thing I enjoy about it is that the kid who sees dead people is Forrest Jr. Which I didn't even realize that until the very end of the film.
Yeah, it's a... What's his name?
Haley Joel Dead...
Haley Joel, yeah, there you go.
Schindler's List. Hot film.
Yeah, really. I laughed all the way through that movie.
Unforgiven, 1992.
That's Clint Eastwood...
That's a Clint Eastwood jam. I never saw it.
No, I'm not a big Western guy.
You watched it, though?
No.
No. Silence of the Lambs.
Loved it.
It's okay.
Come on.
I enjoyed it, don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't put it in the top of anything. I'd put it like in, maybe at the top of my DVD cabinet. I would own it, but it's not. It's nothing like I wouldn't put it top 100 even.
No?
Good. It's okay.
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a fine film. It's okay. It's an acceptable film. It's a satisfactory film.
Oh, I think it was a good thriller.
It was a real regular cyberpunk thriller.
It was that's Jolie Foster. She's one hot piece of ass.
I mean, it's a real cyberpunk thriller.
Let's just put it in the basket. Put that lotion in the basket.
Now I'm going
to... Seriously, though. That was a great flick.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, seriously, put the lotion in my basket.
Yes.
I do
need some lubes.
Now I'm going to say something very uncomfortable here. Yeah. 1990, Dances with Wolves.
Never saw it.
Loved it.
Oh, God.
Loved it.
Hated it. No, seriously. And what was the movie?
I love no seriously.
What was the movie that you were gooking on me about?
First of all, I wasn't gooking on anyone. My wife is Asian, and I prefer that term not be used here. With the English Patient? The English Patient?
No.
Oh, Chicago. Dude, Dances with Wolves, way straighter than Chicago.
No way.
You're out of your mind, dude. A dance?
Get out of here, Tonto.
Okay, wait.
Go put on your headdress.
Okay.
Talk to me later.
You're talking about the difference between a musical and a tale of human survival.
Told by Kevin Costner.
I'm telling you, it's pretty good. I will...
Do you finger yourself while you watch it?
Constantly, for dinner like a madman. I will see your Chicago and raise you with Dances with Wolves. I will sit through Chicago if you will sit through Dances with Wolves, and you're going to try and I want to know your honest opinion when it's done, which of the two films is better.
You're not going to like it on principle.
No, I won't. I'm not going to like it because it sucks.
You've never seen it.
Yeah, but they're singing.
You sing all the time.
Yeah, but I'm not in movies. If I was, I'd watch them all day. Yeah, I'm not a big musical fan. Not a big musical fan at all.
Super. Well, anything that catches the goat.
Although, to be quite honest with you, I will absolutely get, Phantom of the Opera. I want to see that.
Okay. I won't even think of that.
I saw the play, of the musical, or whatever you want to call it. I went to that, and so I thought it was kind of cool. And Rent I saw, too, which I thought was awesome. We actually own Rent at home. I just haven't seen the movie version yet.
Is it out?
Yeah.
Rosario Dawson?
Is Rosario Dawson the one who's in it?
She was in that Daily News or something.
You know, I don't know.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what the big thing about her. She's a little beefy for a cruiserweight.
Are you crazy?
She's a little beefy for a cruiserweight.
No
right,
way,
friend.
Man. You think of something else.
No, Rosario Dawson. What's the other film she was in? She was in Alexander. A little beefy for a cruiserweight.
She's in Butt Wranglers 2 and 3.
No, seriously, what films was she in? What do you love her for?
Was she in a surfing movie?
What, Surfer?
With the chicks?
No way.
Yeah.
No, she definitely wasn't.
You sure?
100% positive. That's Michelle Rodriguez I think you're thinking of, dude. The girl from SWAT. Yeah, Rosario Dawson's a little beefy for a cruiserweight. She's definitely not...
No way.
She absolutely is.
Hello?
I'm trying to think, what's another... I'm going to stop saying crazy. Sorry, I just love saying beefy for...
I'm sitting here and I'm hearing the phone ring and I'm like... I really thought it was part of the show.
I bet you had the guy with the sound effects from Police Academy on the cast now.
Yeah, Michael Winslow, yeah. He's in the closet.
Stopping by.
I wish we had him.
Yeah, I couldn't. I wouldn't be able to book him.
He's a huge star, dude.
He totally is. He's you know what? He's above us, is what it is. He thinks he's too cool for it. How you doing, fellas?
Fellas?
Fellas.
There's no one here. It's just me.
It's just you.
Yeah.
Fellas.
Fellas.
How you doing?
How you doing, fella?
Talking to Winslow, douchebag. I want to get Winslow to chime in with some kind of bing-bong noise or something. I don't know.
Yeah, Bubba Smith came with him. I got them both for a
nice
case of beer.
Now, hold on. Is it Bubba Smith as Hightower or Bubba Smith as Hightower dressed up as the Jamaican guy?
Okay, I'll go with the Jamaican guy.
Yama, yama, yama. And then what's his name comes out of the body bag with a chainsaw. Like, that's easy to do.
God, what number was that?
I think that was number 15. Easily.
You're wasting your time when you go past two.
Yeah, you are. Although David Spade is in part four, Citizens on Patrol.
Is he really?
As a brash young skateboarder.
Get out of here.
With no lines. I swear to God, he is. Dave, I can't make this up. So,
what's up, man?
You know, what's cracking, as they say, the kids are saying. I believe the black people aren't saying that, so it's safe for us to say that now. I learned that from the Bad Monkey show, Solitary.
Well, we're crackers, so we're allowed to say it.
We're allowed to say, according to Kanye West, we're allowed to say all the old slang. Once they, it's like Salvation Army for slang.
I think I got Kanye booted up over here. Oh, here we go.
Was that some kind of new, like, racial slur? You got him booted up?
Ow.
There's now over 25 feet of water where there was once city streets and thriving neighborhoods.
I hate the way they portray us in the media. If you see a black family, it says they're looting. See a white family, it says they're looking for food. And you know it's been 5 days because most of the people are black. And even for me to complain about, I would be a hypocrite because I've tried to turn away from the teacher TV because it's too hard to watch. I've even been shopping before I even get...
Do you imagine the people behind the scenes with everybody just scrambling and going crazy and not knowing what to do?
See, I have no idea what that'd be like, and I still know it would be crazy. You just have to be... I like how he's reaching for the point. Like, he's not really speaking like he prepared this. He's kind of... And I hate how black people like... They think everybody like steaks rare, and the black people... Even when I'm shopping,
black people can't swim, but that's not the truth.
Yeah,
like, he
I hate how
like, I'm just gonna
a lot of black people will murder white people.
Great, because when Whitey gets in the way, when he gets mowed down, it's always the black guy's fault. Well, I'm just riffing.
And what's the deal with the black guy dying at the beginning of the movie?
Hey, okay.
I mean, come on.
Don't you know? Most prisons are overrun with black people. Who's committing the crime? Oh, God. That'd be great if he just flipped one day and that was his
Yeah, if he all of a sudden just became a racist comic. Oh, my God, what's up? I was working, man. I can't do a Seinfeld. Are you kidding me?
He'd be fucking huge.
He would be the man. He would be, instead of this, like, the bit he does on Halloween, and oh, no, I'm back on a comic.
Kramer! Why are you such a homo? Let me tell you about homos.
Let me tell you about homos? They're gonna die from AIDS.
And I'm gonna be there laughing. Ah!
Lucy went straight out of the sexual not getting AIDS, I'll tell you that, folks. What's the deal with the bathhouses? I mean, come on!
I'll burn them all down! Down to the ground!
Jerry Seinfeld, he is a heartless bastard. He doesn't really care. Jerry Seinfeld doesn't care about gay people.
Well, he doesn't really have to.
I don't think he does. He doesn't have to care about anybody. He doesn't have to care about himself.
Nice.
He hired a person to think for him now, I think, and also wash himself.
I think he just popped out his third kid recently.
He popped it out, that's right.
He's giving birth now, yeah.
Yeah, he actually paid for the ability to give birth. He carries children to term and he just shits them out.
Well, I guess that's what all dudes do, right?
Like the movie Junior.
It's not a tumor.
Yeah, because that's a good concept. Let's get our action hero to be pregnant.
What, that works for me.
Yeah, I think I'll buy that.
Definitely a million people bought it. That movie probably made a ton of money.
Anything, Schwarzenegger. Come on. Jingle All the Way. I mean,
that was
chill out.
He was in that.
he was in that.
Yeah, I didn't have the pleasure of seeing that movie. That sounds like a isn't that what's his face do all those Christmas movies?
No, that's like Santa Claus or something. Okay. The Santa Claus. Now he's got to be Santa, and he's gonna be Santa again in the sequel.
Didn't
just get it. Yeah.
Chevy Chase did it already.
The one that Schwarzenegger was in, he's trying to get the last toy or whatever. The I forget the name. It was like Action Man or something like that. Okay. I have to get Action Man. Yeah, I remember Twins. I'm getting feedback. I don't know if you are, but I am. and Deja's checking in with, do you remember Twins with Danny DeVito? And I guess the third I am will be like, it was really cool.
Hey,
that was awesome.
One of the best movies ever.
Yeah, I like Twins. I don't think you need to make one of the stars pregnant and try and go off at success.
If he didn't have I guess just Conan the Barbarian is what started him off, right?
Yeah.
That he didn't have to say one word in.
So, aside from Winslow over there, where are the rest of the fellas at the TBL?
Well,
you got Winslow over there, now it really is the Brown
Lodge. Oh my God.
Oh, here comes Chris.
Thank God I got him chained to the wall.
Chained to the wall.
Yeah,
actually, you're just telling him to act like he's chained to the wall. He's making all these, like, clanking noises and whip smacks.
Chinkle, chinkle. Hey, what are you doing in there?
He's still trying to get over on Proctor after all these years.
Oh, my God. Well, she is hot. Oh, wait, no, Proctor with the dude.
Proctor?
Oops.
Proctor was the guy, man.
Who was the blonde chick with Tackleberry?
Callahan.
Oh, sorry. God.
Why do I know this, dude? Because I have the worst taste in movies, apparently.
Obviously.
Because I'm not a fan of Zizzo or whatever the fuck that is, the Wes Anderson movies, like a certain Eric Ryan.
Well,
and I just have to say, I listened to the Dumb Show, as he calls it, and you were featured there in true form. He took a couple of your clips, and I almost pissed. When I heard them. I don't know why. It's nothing really, but you mix it with some music, it's fucking brilliant.
It's not really hard to find too many things to say that I
like to spread it on the jam and jelly. I don't know why, that just makes me laugh every time I hear it, even when I say it. I say it in the bathroom to myself, and I laugh.
This is extremely creepy.
It is. You know why?
No.
Because I'm in the bathroom right now.
Ugh.
It's crazy. It's a new setup.
Spread it on like jam and jelly.
That's right. If I have no pants on when I'm doing the show, when I'm calling in, may as well be in the bathroom in case a little accident happens.
They made me promise that I have to wear pants from the shows from now on. Even though I'm behind the bar and Chris can't really see anything, he can only hear me banging.
Can hear. Flesh on flesh movement.
And the answer to your question, Keith is working. And Chris, which he probably won't have me a problem with saying this. He's having a lot of apartment difficulties, so he's out looking for a new place.
Really?
Yeah. So
well, that's good.
That's all I'm going to say about that. But you know, it's pretty.
Much I think I remember hearing something about something that was forgotten. I won't go into it. But
well, you know.
Yeah. It's not my place to speak, Holmes. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying Holmes because we're allowed to.
No, that's legal, right?
Yeah. Holmes?
Ain't hurting anybody
on,
with
man.
That.
No, absolutely not.
As long as you end the Z. Yeah, but
you can't say it with an S. I mean, what are you trying to, you know, say more than one house?
Exactly.
More than one building in which you live?
House. Are you German?
House. Jawohl.
But, yeah, I'm here all alone, and I'm pretty boring by myself.
Why?
Sorry.
You're a lively fella. You need to maybe do some uppers or something like that. I don't know, man.
I need to fire up a little bit more.
You know, you need a nice cup of Kathy.
Oh, that'll get me all jacked.
Yeah.
No.
The coffee sure will do it after years and years of PCP.
Oh, yeah. It's my new, Jones. Actually, four cups of coffee, really. I feel like I'm on a, like,
fucking... Well, after four, I mean,
yeah. Even
come
though,
on.
Like...
What's the deal with one girl? Four cups of coffee.
Why am I firing proud mud out the side of my ass? Oh, yeah. Gregor!
What's the deal living in New York and missing my car? It's gone. We know who took it.
Damn,
this is the new Seinfeld.
It's the Jews. Oh, wait, I'm one.
Oh, wait, I keep forget. Oh, wait, I'm one. Kind of laughs, throws his head back, and smiles, shaking his head. Oh,
right.
I should have known.
Yeah.
I should have known.
I actually had the pleasure of seeing him live on his HBO special.
Which one?
The last one when he went on tour doing those jokes for the very last time.
Yeah. And I think someone else on the Radio BBQ did that as well.
Someone else
on the Radio BBQ, not me, a certain quoted show host went to see him, I guess you could say, during that tour.
Did he like it?
I don't think so, because he got thrown out.
Oh, shit.
Well, he was involved with another radio program, and if you actually listen to that album, you'll hear him on there. You'll hear our very own Craig Coleman heckling Seinfeld.
Really? I don't remember anybody heckling.
I think he screams out Don and Mike, Jerry, like 50,000 times. I like how I said a certain radio program, and I just pretty much, oh, yeah, he screams out the Don and Mike show.
Here's his phone number.
Yeah, go ahead. Don't you know? What's he doing with the Don and Mike show?
Oh, shit. Well, I had no idea, but it wasn't a very good show.
No, it really wasn't.
It's a good
show. I really don't know why he's as big as he is.
Yeah, you gotta admit, the TV show was great.
The TV show was brilliant.
You know? The comedy, I don't, you know.
You know, this is a funny one. This is obscure. On the side of the Superman costume box, it says, "Don't attempt to fly." I mean, come on!
You sound like someone, but it's not Jerry.
Not Jerry. That's my Jerry voice. And you know what? I suggest you like it.
I do like
it. You better latch on and love it, because that's Jerry.
You're like Monroe from Too Close for Comfort.
Monroe. Thanks. Jim J. Bullock.
What he sounds like. What he sounds like now.
After he's had several throat ulcers. And he now shits out half his intestine.
Oh, Jesus. Speaking of that, I
jogging.
Man. I talked to someone who had a C-section recently.
Are you getting one?
No, she just explained to me in great detail like what exactly happens. That she said they actually move your intestines around. You don't feel the pain from the epidural.
Nice.
But you actually know that someone like, she's like, you can feel them actually, like what your skin actually being cut and peeled back.
That's kind of hot. That's almost as hot as an episiotomy.
Oh, God almighty. This is actually
just
my niece
giving it. Just a scissor snip in the bottom edge.
Oh, Jesus. Just dropping everything out one big boof.
Yeah. You can't push? Okay. We'll make it easy for you to push.
Oh, God. Here comes everything.
I said push. I can't push it out. Oh, you can't push? well, we got something we could do. Yeah. What if it was out? Yeah, something like that.
You're a maniac.
Oh, it'll heal up. You'll be able to wear that thong bikini again.
Can you give out your address so someone can call the police on you?
108 Easton Ave, New Brunswick, New Jersey. It's Old Queen's Tavern at Rutgers. That's right. Be sure to go there for a ladies' night.
And an episiotomy.
And an episiotomy.
For free.
Just get those safety scissors from kindergarten and just chomp on down at the bottom part of it. There you go.
Jesus Christ.
Snippety. That's right. So it's the Brown Lodge.
Yeah, on radiobbq.net.
Yeah, so why is it the Brown Lodge? Is it actually a Brown Lodge?
Yes. My house
that's
is
like
brown
the,
lodge.
That's what you if you ever like, you know, got interviewed. That would be the first question. So, why is it the Brown Lodge?
Hey, do you guys really work at the Brown Lodge?
Let me guess.
Jingle, jingle.
Some kind of white cabin, I guess, there, Chuck. I certainly is.
I heard you live in New York. What the hell? They got room for a log cabin.
Well, get this. I checked into the Brown Lodge. I actually listened to the show. They have a guy named Chris, and some guy who's obviously a marathon runner. They just call him Runner. I don't get it. Whoa, hell. Oh, my God.
Got crazy. Oh. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you do. You could live in a friggin' purple igloo. It's still the Brown Lodge. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, our lodge isn't brown, but we're the Brown Log.
Brown Lounge.
Yeah, it's supposed to remind you of crap.
I think that I'm actually guilty of calling you the Brown Lounge early on.
Whoa. What the hell was that?
When I was promoting you guys. I think I called you the Brown Lounge.
No, I heard something what like it sounded like a freaking spaceship.
What
was
the fuck
off.
Are you doing, man?
I don't know, man. You hearing me?
You know what it is? It's a ghost. An apparition has gotten into the mix.
Okay, so you did hear that, too. Nice.
Yeah. No, I didn't hear anything.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry. Dude, hey, I gotta do that Skype thing, man.
Yeah, Skype, good.
It seems to be working right now.
It's you know what, dude? Did you do the setup thing we talked about?
No.
You suck.
I'm so lazy.
Yeah, way to seize the day.
Hey, no one's even here.
You're seizing the month, basically.
Okay, I'll get it.
Seize the month. I'm gonna get two things done. I want to sleep a lot, and I want to get the Skype thing going.
We'll get it running. That'll be great.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah, man.
So, any new exciting MTV stories going on, or what's the deal here?
Well, the porno movie I thought I was gonna be working on is turning out to be a video. I should be on that for the week. And then I think I got the VH1 Hip Hop Honors.
Following. Back up. It's not exactly like you're working on Johnny's Bar Mitzvah video here. What? You're working on a porno video?
No, originally when I got hired, the guy.
Are you like what kind of stuff do you do exactly? Like what would be one of your responsibilities?
Lighting the set.
Nice.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any of your lighting equipment, like, accidentally dip into view?
Well, yeah, and then we take it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it's in the shot, it's really no big deal, unless they're dicks and they yell a lot. But when I got hired, the guy, you know, he just told me the rate, and I was just like, all right, cool, what is it? And he's like, I don't know, it'll either be a video, you know, this guy is like, he pays cash, but it'll either be a video or a porno. I'm like, okie dokie.
Yeah, it's like, it's actually three guys and a horse and a pizza place. Three guys, a horse, and a pizza place. Coming to the NBC. Not really coming to NBC.
I'd watch in any of it. I don't care.
You'd watch that?
But sure, why not?
You'd watch a three guys and a horse.
Yeah.
And a pizza place as a porno, or just as like a sitcom.
Well, I'd go to it for a job and work it. But I don't know if I'd watch it for fun.
Oh, of course. I'd love to, if I had to choose, I would definitely want to be present for the horse and the three guys rather than just being able to fast forward or close the window real quick.
Yeah, you pretty
pretend
much.
Pretend I never searched for it for hours and downloaded it.
You didn't go to rotten.com.
Yeah.
That was the first website I ever went on.
It was the first for me as well. I remember, dude, that autopsy picture is real, okay? The train ran over his neck and his head stayed there.
God, I can't believe that girl took that whole freaking horse cock.
I can't believe it, man. Dude, she's a whore.
Look at that guy's testicles getting stomped.
Look at that guy's testicles. It's like one of those big red balls with the handle on it we used to bounce around as kids.
Oh, God, you're right, actually.
Yeah, he's like using his own little, what were they called? I don't even know. I was going to try and get creative here or, bring some old history back.
Old LARPing history?
Yeah, old history. Old history. Way to speak. Whoa, the Brella, hey!
You're out of your mind.
I'm fucking nuts, man. You know why? Because I'm coming down, actually. I'm sorry, man.
It's okay.
Your Honor, man. I love you, bro. I got nothing. I just have all I've got is a harmonica and a wacky voice.
Yeah, I got nothing, too, man. I'm just sitting here sweating my balls off.
You know what, though? I'm having fun. I don't know about you. I don't know about any of the listeners, but I'm having fun, so you know what? Fuck them. Because I'm entertained. You could be nervous and uncomfortable, but I'm having fun, and that's the whole point of this thing called the internet and radio.
Hey.
The fact that DJ New Style is entertained.
As long as somebody's having fun.
everybody out there exists to entertain me.
Oh yeah, that's all we have.
Yeah, that's how it is.
Eliza Dushku, Jamie Lee.
Eliza Dushku.
Oh, True Lies. That was a great movie.
Did you ever? Yeah. Oh wow, she was a little young there.
I don't even remember her being in that.
Yeah, she's the one that. This is gonna.
Daughter?
No, see, Tom Arnold goes, "You're not her parents now. Madonna and Axl Rose are her parents now." Like, those are the hip people that the kids are listening to these days. Madonna says, "Let's go back."
Yo.
And black guys on film indiscriminately, and Axl Rose says, "Let's do smack." Wow. Hey. That's cool. I just kind of heard, like, the last 30 seconds of what I said. That's awesome.
You heard a repeat? You heard yourself echoing?
I heard you talk about True Lies. Like, I swear to God, I think I'm in, like, a K-hole or something right now.
Oh, this still...
I'm hearing, like, not anymore, but every now and then I'll hear the show, like, from 30 seconds ago.
Shit.
Like, the entire show. And it'll be like, holy shit, man. I'm, like, existing in another plane right now.
I don't even have the Vonage phone on, dude. Like, so we're not even getting, like, a cross line. You're the only one on.
No, you know what it is? It's me and my insatiable craving for porno, probably.
Yeah.
No, I'm not downloading anything.
Fuck. Actually, I am.
Oh, you trying to check out the job? Trying to see what you're getting into?
I wish I knew.
Yeah. It looks like a pretty horse.
Hey! What's with all the dudes in the... Okay.
Hey, dude, I saw a whole dressing room back there. There's no reason to be naked.
That would be fucking a great fucking day.
Yeah, that'd be a picnic.
I love my job.
Yeah, you do love your job, don't you? So you're doing the porn video, lighting it.
Yeah.
You're hoping to hell it's going to be like a horse documentary, and like these three guys that own a ranch and they're like really successful now, that came from nothing, you know, but it's just three guys fucking a horse.
But really, I'm falling in love with a horse.
Yeah, you know, that's all it's going to be. It's like, maybe they'll call it Three Feed Bags.
Oh, damn. You sure the horse is just not the girl from Dirty Dancing that was in Three Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place?
Yeah, it's actually her, and she's the front half of the vaudeville costume. Of a horse, you know, and like there's some random Mexican that's Union. Tail.
Oh, you're a maniac. She actually looks like Hugh.
Jennifer Grey starring as the horse in Three Guys, a Horse, and a Pizza Place.
She looks hugely different after
the schnoz job.
I've never seen anybody.
Yeah, she got her snooter clipped.
Oh yeah, huge. It must have taken 3 or 4 feet off that thing.
Yeah.
Sick.
3 or 4 feet, you know. Yeah, they probably did take a few feet out of her. I mean, but you don't want to put her in a corner. I mean, Patrick Swayze will have your ass.
I'll fuck you up.
You do not want to fuck with a prancing Patrick Swayze. you know, like how he's in this like these hugely like, you know, action roles like Roadhouse, Red Dawn, even Outsiders. He like gets in a rumble. Rumble in, rumble that me, man.
Gotta say, Red Dawn and The Outsiders are two of the best movies going.
Probably. I'll give you that.
And I, unfortunately, I've watched Roadhouse more than once.
Yeah.
Big Roadhouse movie.
With he runs after a building that's on fire like he's gonna stop it with his flame-retardant hair, as Lil' Jimmy Rhodes would say on my show. His flame-retarded hair.
I can't burn!
Yeah. But yeah, you don't want to mess with him. And he's in all these like crazy roles where he's just stomping people's faces and beating people up. And then like every now and then he'll be doing like pirouettes in Dirty Dancing. There's a scene where he does like a plié or something. He does some kind of fucking crazy ballet homo move.
Well, that's up with same thing with freaking. Oh, I can't. John Travolta. Like he'll play. He even like no matter what he's in, there's always a time for him to be dancing. Even in freaking Pulp Fiction, he's a heroin junkie, killing people all over the place. But he got a time to take his shoes off and freaking shimmy across the floor.
Yeah, actually, I really enjoyed his soft shoe in Battlefield Earth. That was crazy. He actually did that to Swanee River.
He made a white man with dreadlocks look perfectly normal.
Yeah, he actually did. It was a very, very watchable movie, right?
Oh, Jesus. I think I sat through, like, the first 10 minutes of that.
I think I had
the pleasure of the hot box.
Of a ball to get out of there early. I had to clip off the lower half of my right nut.
When you get in, they try to chain you to the seat so you won't leave. You play the kid touch.
If there's no refund, you want to leave early, you're losing half a ball.
Sorry. I'll do it.
And they don't have surgical equipment either. All they have is a nail clipper and a file.
Ow.
It's not fun. I mean, hey, you know what? I was willing to do it. I didn't want to see that movie anymore. Cavemen flying planes. Okay, sure.
We got it. All they use is a piece of glass and, like, a flamethrower.
Yeah, and they're going to stop these people that have traveled light years to eradicate everybody on a planet. Right.
You're a nut.
I'm a nut. Slow down. Run air. Run air.
Hoo-dah.
So what do you got going on, man? What's the story? What's the dealio?
I honestly have nothing.
I can, you know, notice we can now say what's the dealio. It's been expired for a while now, so we could say that.
Yeah, soon we can actually get the fist shizzle my nizzle and not get, you know, crazy looks. But
yeah.
That's probably like, you know, 2 or 3 years away.
I'm still working on the wazah from the, you know, I don't know if it's clear for us yet.
Yeah, I don't know. It might have just gone, you know, gone aside. I don't know if you can use that anymore.
I don't think anybody can use that. You know what? Only Asians can use that now.
What? Oh my god, everybody keeps sending me.
They've been using it for centuries. I just didn't know.
We just couldn't understand.
I had no clue. Deja's mentioning Black Dog. Oh man.
And she mentioned Donnie Darko. Oh, good movie.
Yeah. I heard it's good, though. I'll give you that. Haven't seen it.
Really? I'll send you Chris's copy. I borrowed it from him a few weeks ago.
Oh, awesome. Send it on over, man. Send it over to DJ New Styles Lair.
Okay.
Where I perform my magic and wizardry.
Rutgers Bar.
Yeah, I don't live there anymore, man. Keep trying, son.
Sorry, dude. Yo, man.
What's up?
I'm going to go and tape my wrestling. I will be back on the air in a minute.
Oh, okay. What wrestling is it tonight? Is it it's Monday Raw? Monday Night Raw, or is it Nitro?
It's Raw tonight.
I got no fucking conception as to what's going on. So why don't you go tape that and have a good time taping guys.
Yes,
touching each other.
You just have to go grab a tape and then run back on.
You know, that's why you wanted to work with the three guys and the horse. You're hoping that's going to be a segment on the WWE. All right, man.
Yo, dude, it definitely could be. They had an 80-year-old lady in a plot line give birth to a hand.
That's classy. That's real class. You know, you want to tell your kids what you did as a writer. Yeah, I chose a senile old woman. She birthed a hand.
She was dating a 500-pound black man, and then she got pregnant by him and gave birth to a hand.
Very good.
Hey, wait. That's award-winning.
That's family comedy. We call that. And you know, you could have her get, you could have someone take a turnbuckle and smash her face into it, anally rape her, and then have her serve ice cream to dead kids.
Well, she's
and then that would be nice. That'd be a good family affair, like for a circus.
She did all that.
Oh,
it's already been done.
Sorry, man. I don't have an original thought in my head.
I knew you watched that show.
I totally do, man. All right, well, go tape your stuff, man.
All right.
Sip!
Hey!
It was because of Bobby the Brain Heenan in, like, 1997 talking about the cruiserweight Yuji Nagata, saying, well, it's a little beefy for a cruiserweight, wouldn't you say? And that always stuck with me. I thought that was hilarious.
Funny man.
But,
Or he was.
No, he's still alive, isn't he?
Oh, is he?
I know he had.
I figured they're all dead.
No, I know he had like cancer, like mouth cancer and stuff, and had half of his tongue cut out, like throw mama. Yeah, like throw mama from the train. But no, he's here. I don't even know what you said, but I feel.
You don't have a cousin Patty.
You don't have a cousin Patty.
That's when he hit it with the frying pan.
Oh God!
Movie night on the Brown Lodge.
Fantastic.
www.brownlodge.com.
No, www.thebrownlodge.com.
Oops.
You're going to send people to that other site where I go to and frequent. And
is there one?
I wish.
Oh.
No, yeah, but oh, no, it's not available. I know that. Yeah, you listen to The Brown Lodge. We're talking about movies, having a little fun, having a good time.
Did you fart?
I certainly did.
Man.
Oh, Sin City.
Ah, Josie and the Pussycats. That's, I just got an instant message from Dejan Tondu, a good friend of ours. She's a big girl, dude.
No way. You're crazy.
Okay. Big girl was probably an exaggeration. She's definitely not a little girl, though. Hold on.
Not a big girl in any sense of the word.
She's not a big girl in any sense of the word. I'm sorry, I'm just doing
She's not thick. She doesn't have a thick butt. She doesn't have thick legs.
She absolutely...
Labia.
I wouldn't know anything about that. That would probably be from that Butt Wranglers movie you were talking about. Yeah, no, she's a... Do you have any good pictures of her online? She's thick, man. You know what it is that's about her that's thick? Like the arms. When a girl's a little thick up in the arm area, that to me makes me think that she's going to be thick everywhere. That's usually what I use as a judging point when I look at ladies. Because I'm so skinny and I have any right to say anything to anybody about her.
Look at the studio stills on IMDb from that Rock movie. You're crazy.
That Rock movie? What's the Rock movie?
Were in the jungle? With Sean, the guy from...
With Stifler?
Runaway, maybe? Rundown?
Christopher
Walken's in that, too.
Christopher Watkins? Yeah, I saw that. I actually watched that... I watched the end of that like a week ago. My wife was watching it.
And you can't say she's freaking...
IMDb.
Thick in any capacity.
Hold on. I definitely can. Hey, man, you know, we have a difference of opinion. To me, Terry Hatcher, perfect body type. Rosario Dawson, little beefy. I say this in jest because my wife was on this website called Pink is the New Blog, which you guys should check that out. It's just like random pictures of celebrities and stuff. It's fun stuff. And there were pictures of Terry Hatcher running that her legs, I swear to God, are thinner than broomsticks. It's the most frightening thing in the world. What's my girl's name? Nicole Richie look like a fatso. It's insane how skinny Terry Hatcher is.
You like Nicole Richie?
Oh, God, love her. Told you I love her. She's my thing. I'm big into her. Rosario. Sorry. I'm searching for things here on the Brown Lodge, exclusively on RadioBBQ.net. We're so prepared for the show. Oh, dude. Okay. In her main picture right there, right as soon as she comes up, you could see her jowls look too big. She's a big girl, dude.
Dude, you're out of your mind. I don't know what you're looking at or how you judge anything.
This is
bad, but you're crazy.
Right now,
a big girl. You're a big girl, and you don't stop eating. You know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on a big beef sandwich. You rely on a big beef sandwich. You rely on a big beef sandwich.
You're a big goddamn homo.
Oh, dude, you can see her arms in this picture. I'm sorry, I know this really doesn't work.
Yeah, people have arms.
Okay, she has large arms, larger than average arms. Dude, look at that heifer.
What is wrong?
All right, maybe she's not as fat as I seem to remember. All right, hey, okay, people could be wrong. She looks like a fat girl. It's like Claire, it's a fat girl's name. You may not currently be a fat girl, but one day you will become a fat girl. That's how I feel about Rosario Dawson. I want nothing to do with her. Sorry.
But inside, I could see you pushing maximum density.
There you go. Thank you. She's. I'm not crazy about it. What do you want me to tell you, dude?
You don't have to be crazy about it, but her being fat is completely out of the question.
Okay. How do we get to Rosario Dawson being fat? We're talking about Dances with Wolves versus Chicago. Oh, she's in Chicago?
No. I don't exactly know how we got here at all.
Okay. Well, I will... All right. If Chicago is a better... Oh, no, she's in Rent, the musical, which I own now. Someone sent it to me.
You bought it already?
Someone sent it to me. Actually, someone sent it to my wife. And we have it at home. We haven't watched it yet. I will make a point to watch it and see... let's see this little...
AIDS.
Everyone has AIDS. Yeah, well, maybe I'll pop it in later on tonight or tomorrow or something, and I'll watch this big fatso flop around the screen doing a little AIDS dance.
You got that big widescreen set up for it?
No, I just have three TVs next to each other, so half of her ass could fit on it.
God almighty.
Hey, man, she always struck me as a fat girl. You know what? In Josie and the Pussycats, she's definitely a big girl. Without question.
Is she one of the Pussycats?
Yes.
There's no way that
she's the drummer.
So what?
Actually, no, she's not. I think... okay.
If she's the black chick, she's like the bass player.
Yeah, she's the bass player. Tara Reid is the drummer that I think about.
And you like Tara Reid, right?
I used to like Tara Reid. She's a little worse for wear now. She's kind of used up at this point. Looking, have you seen any recent pictures of her? She's looking pretty worked over. Don't get me wrong.
No, she looks beat up. I saw her in the Post, actually, with the same picture of Rosario Dawson.
Yeah, Josie and the Pussycats, I think Tara Reid had the funniest line in the history of cinema, believe it or not.
Go for it.
They asked her who her favorite, if she could meet any person in the world. I wish I knew what the exact dialogue was. Something like, if there's one person that you could meet, or the person that you most admire, in the world, and her response was Snoopy. it floored me. It absolutely floored me. I thought it was the funniest thing I ever heard.
I gotta date that girl.
Yeah, she's pretty good. Which one, Rosario Dawson or Tara Reid, or both of them?
Both of them, if I could fit them in one apartment at one time.
You could fit yourself and Tara Reid and throw both of your bodies inside big fat Rosario Dawson.
Oh, man.
All right, I'm done. I'm sorry. I'll stop talking about fat girls and stuff like that. Driving Miss Daisy, Rain Man, The Last Emperor. Driving Miss Daisy, Rain Man, The Last Emperor. Platoon, Out of Africa, Amadeus, Terms of Endearment, Gandhi, Chariots of Fire, and Ordinary People. Were the best pictures in the 80s, if you didn't know. Just thought I'd review those for you. Of them, I liked Platoon. I liked Rain Man. And I didn't see any of the other ones. Never saw Driving Miss Daisy. I did see The Last Emperor, too. I didn't see Out of Africa. Didn't see Amadeus. Didn't see any of that stuff.
I saw Amadeus.
Didn't see any of that stuff.
I saw Amadeus.
Didn't see any of that stuff.
I saw Amadeus.
Didn't see any of that stuff.
I saw Amadeus.
Didn't see any of that stuff.
I saw Amadeus.
Did you?
Yeah. It was good.
I like the song by Falco.
Rock me, Amadeus.
And that's that. You're listening to The Brown Lodge. Sorry, we just got crazy. Started talking about old movies for some unknown reason. The Brown Lodge on RadioBBQ.net. Check us out on the AOL Instant Messenger at The Brown Lodge. Check out our chat room, RadioBBQ Chat. Go to the website, TheBrownLodge.com. You can Skype us up at RUNNDOGG. You can also hit the hotline at 718-360-1413.
What that?
718-360-1413. But for those of you that are hearing impaired, you probably didn't know that we said that.
Do we get what? Internet radio for the deaf?
I don't think that radio for the deaf is something that actually happens.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. I'm getting instant message with all the Tara Reid drinking games and oh things
boy.
Like that.
Man, I got a headache.
What's wrong? What's the problem? You had a rough day?
No, not really.
You know what? Did you work today? You stood home today.
Yeah, I didn't work today.
You know, when I find myself sitting in the house not doing anything, or even sitting at work not doing anything, like sitting in front of the computer when there's not a lot of work to do, I get a headache too.
Really?
Did you sit around the house, or did you get outside? Did you do things?
I did a little bit of stuff outside, but not much.
Some manual labor?
Yes. I cleaned some little boxes. Yes. I cleaned some little boxes. Yes. I cleaned some little boxes. Maybe it was the smell of urine that got me.
That's my favorite.
My head's pounding right now. Ew.
Sorry. Speaking of pounding males, I was checking out this new book by Charles Gross. I don't know if it's Gross or Gross. Charles R. Gross. Gross.
G-R-O-S-S?
Yeah, I think it's Gross. Yeah. Like the father from Family Ties, Michael. Michael Gross.
Right.
I just like the name Gross. Is that okay? Well, Charles Gross has a new book out called Room Full of Mirrors. It's in, I guess I'll get to a room full of mirrors in a moment.
Let's see what's going on. How you doing? You're on the Brown Lodge. We got the crime. You got the time. Anybody there?
Yeah, you guys are really great. I especially agree with the fat kid about you.
I just want to say that when I sit around the house, I really sit around the house.
Waka, waka, waka. Turns out that there's our buddy Monty. What's going on, buddy?
How could you tell?
Because that around the house joke that you used on me a few years ago and it hurt. It's kind of like your tagline.
Have I really used that before?
Absolutely not. Yeah, if you guys don't know it, Monty sings for a fine rock group called The Monty Love. You can check out their website, MontyLove.com, which will redirect you to their MySpace page. It's a good time. And if you ever go to one of their shows, they always introduce...
It gets updated once every 8 months.
Fantastic. But yeah, if you ever go to one of their shows, it always opens up with, so if you want to know how you're fat, and he goes into that whole joke, and it really hurts feelings, to be honest. You should check him out if you can.
I'm sorry to hear that, but yeah. I just speak the truth.
No, well, no, it's okay. I understand. I sit around the house. It's hurtful.
Listen, I just wanted to see if make sure you guys are excited for football,
dude. I'm sitting back. I'm trying to relax. Are you really excited for football? You want to?
I'm ready. I got my pads on.
What do you got to say? How do you feel about the game? Your love, your life.
I'm hoping for a lot of scores this year, and
we're going all the way. I really have nothing to live for in the past 7 months, and
except for anticipation for a pick 'em league, maybe.
That's basically it. I mean, you know, it's really sad when the highest point of your life consists of men running around and a ball. But that's all I got left.
All of a sudden, you've changed the entire idea of the game.
But
running around and a ball.
When you strip it down to its bare essential, it's really all it is a little ball and a big man.
Tight pants.
For the 7 months before the game starts, though, aren't you on Monday nights obsessed with men running around without a ball in a ring?
Yeah, and men in little tights. That's, break that one down, and it sounds even worse. But yeah, men in little tights jumping on top of each other. But
well, they distract us with the girls and the big boobs and everything.
I fast forward. That's the saddest part about wrestling is that when the girls come on, I fast forward it.
I think there's something wrong.
Because it's really the worst part of wrestling are the girls. Is it just me?
No, it's all the chatter in between. I hate when they go into a big long spiel.
Yeah, there you go. I just want to see fighting.
I'm sorry. I wish I could add something to the conversation. I'm not particularly fond of wrestling since since the WWF tried to redo the NWO and I got psyched for like 10 minutes. I haven't paid attention at all.
Well, that's really because you're not a real man.
That's obviously. Oh, can I ask you a quick question? As long as we're talking about me not being a real man. What is a straighter film, Chicago or Dances with Wolves? A more macho film, I guess.
I guess, Liz, we can answer that question with this. I own Chicago on DVD.
Nice. Wait,
does that answer your question?
Not really.
Not at all, but that's all the answer that we need.
It does. I'm pretty much as gay as a cat, so that's the answer. I saw Chicago twice in the movie theater.
I don't understand.
Oh, my God. I didn't even know how gay I was until I called you.
It'll be all right, man.
The Brown Lodge, pulling people out of the closet.
I didn't even know. But, hey, at least I'll admit it to someone.
Hey, no, these things happen.
You admit it to a bunch of people.
Yeah, you've been...
I wasn't talking about right now.
Admitted to a bunch of people on RadioBBQ.net, where you can check out all the magic 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, not 9 to 5 as I'd previously thought.
Oh.
You can check out our website, thebrownlodge.com, as well. Do all nice things.
The internet's 24 hours these days.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I hope no one unplugs it ever, because then we'd have a real issue. But for now, it's 24 hours a day.
How would we get our porn? And our wrestling updates?
Or MySpace. How would we have any sort of interaction with other people?
Yeah, exactly. How would we check out the Monty Love MySpace page that gets updated once every 8 months? I don't know.
I don't know either.
But listen, guys, I'm going to let you get back to your show.
Fantastic.
I have to start getting ready for wrestling.
15 minutes and counting. Enjoy the program tonight.
How do you get ready? Do push-ups?
That ball around the room? Who knows?
Hold hands. It's exciting.
Oh,
fantastic.
Boy.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
All right, buddy. Thank you for calling in.
Later.
Monty Love, like we said, check him out. Check out his band. Check out their site, MontyLove.com. It's a good time. What was I talking about before we got onto this whole thing? Oh, Charles Gross's new book, Room Full of Mirrors. Sorry, I didn't mean to sidetrack. Well, Room Full of Mirrors is a biography. if you didn't know, of a certain gentleman by the name of Jimi Hendrix.
Okay.
Are you familiar at all with Jimi Hendrix's story, other than his rock story?
A little bit, yeah.
What do you know about him?
Well, I know he had a bad drug problem. It was a little bit, he was into heroin more than, you know, he was actually kind of an angry guy.
Right on. Do you know anything about
his... pretty surprised about.
Do you know anything about his pre-rock stuff?
When he played in, like, the band The Gypsies and stuff? When he played, like, in blues bands?
I'm talking about pre-music. When I say rock, I just mean music in general.
With him and his dad? When he played the guitar on a tennis racket and his dad went out and bought him a guitar?
Apparently, you do know a little bit. Do you know about his military history?
No.
You do know that he was in the military?
Was he?
Absolutely was. He was discharged, and for years everyone was under the impression that he was discharged because he injured his ankle, broke his ankle in a parachuting or paratrooper incident, and he got his honorable discharge.
Right.
Turns out, in medical papers that were released in the book, Room of Mirrors by Charles Gross, we find out that Jimi Hendrix was released from the Army because it wasn't necessarily an honorable discharge, but wasn't a dishonorable discharge because he kept explaining to his psychiatrist over and over again that he was homosexual. He was having fantasies about other men in his platoon, I guess. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And he couldn't stop frantically masturbating, thinking about the guys in his platoon.
Do you think it was just an excuse to get out?
I understand you're hoping that that's the case, and that's probably the look on your face of just like, no, come on, Road, come on, no, you're...
I don't really care, but...
Yeah,
it's pretty weird.
I would tend to think it's not a thing you would generally just come out with, like, oh, God, I can't stop jacking it because these guys are so hot around me.
But I think it's an excuse to get out of the...
Probably, yeah. Most likely. Although, hey, he was a freak, too. Who knows? Maybe he did like dudes and he needed to bone and wiggle himself while thinking about him.
Whichever way you can get it, I guess.
Exactly. He was so... Essentially, what we're saying then, if we don't think that he's either, you know, a raging sex fiend that can't stop masturbating about the dudes that he's hanging out with... With squirrels. Or he was the original clinger. Faking trying to get his way out of the army.
Clinger never got out.
But he tried.
Yeah.
Well, Clinger did actually at the end when the war was over, right?
Yeah.
But I guess everyone did, for that matter.
And then he worked at the Army Hospital in Mesh again or something?
I never saw that. I'm gonna do a little childhood flashback if I can for you here.
Go for it.
When was MASH on the air? A long time. When did MASH go off the air? Like 84?
Something like that.
5?
Most watched last episode ever? Still?
Everyone in the world watched the last episode of MASH. Except for me.
I know I did.
I wanted to watch the last episode of MASH.
Were you being punished?
I got a punishment assignment from school that day, and my mom wouldn't let me watch the last episode of MASH. And because it was a punishment assignment that I got, like, I had to write, like, I'm a jerk 100 times or something like that. It was something along those lines. I got in trouble in school, as I had a tendency to do in those days. Because my mom knew it was something that I'd want to see later, she wouldn't record it on the VCR. Just to really enforce my punishment.
You had a VCR in 84?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, the VCR that had the cable running from the VCR to the thing, the remote control that way, absolutely.
I had that one still until the 90s, remember? With the big Fisher-Price buttons on it, the top-load one.
I had that one until the 90s, too, but it's my parents got it. My parents, you know, my mom and my stepdad were always about getting the highfalutin electronic devices, even though we lived in a horrible neighborhood and couldn't afford... I mean, if they would have spent as much money on getting us into a nicer neighborhood as they did on buying electronics for the house, as much as they did on the Betamax, we would have moved out of the horrible slum in Brooklyn that I lived in way earlier.
You had Beta?
No. We had regular VHS tape. But, we had the VCR, and she refused to tape the final episode of MASH. And to this day, I've never seen it. And I think I got to download that someplace. I think I got to go to the Museum of Radio and Television. Television and Radio?
And I think Television and Radio, I think.
I think I'm going to go there and sit down and watch the final episode of MASH.
Bring a lot of tissues. You're going to need it.
It's really a tearjerker?
I really don't remember anything about it.
I hear, ironically, that Father Mulcahy goes deaf, I think.
Okay.
Dude, you saw it. Come on, please help me. I need to know.
Dude, I saw it over 10 years ago.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember what
the
I'm
MASH series at. Getting instant message to me. let's see. Let's check this out. Oh, man, MASH. We're really cutting edge. MASH the series. Oh, God, 1983 is when it went off the air. The show is perfect, but it comes... Oh, it's not perfect, but it comes far closer than most ever did. Wow, MASH. We're talking really current stuff tonight on the Brown Line.
Do we ever, though?
Exclusively on RadioBBQ.net. We're talking about the Oscar winners in the 70s and MASH, the final episode. And my punishment assignment, I'm a jerk 100 times.
Jamie Farr was probably one of the biggest stars on that show by the time it ended, right?
I would think so. Yeah, didn't he have he had his own show after the MASH Now show, right?
The Far Side? No,
is that what
it's
called? I think he did have his own show. You know what? I'm taking just a random thought back into childhood and memories and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
In about 1984 or so, I got in trouble in Sister Matilda's class, and I got sent home saying that I had to rewrite 3 chapters of a book. This punishment assignment that I had to do coincided with the Bruce Springsteen Born in the USA tour that my mother had tickets for, and I never got to go see that either. Sucks to be punished all the time and not get to go to stuff.
Yeah, really. I never really got that. Explains the way I am.
You got punished?
No, not really.
I did. I got punished a lot. We're not very different, though.
No, I know.
So I don't think it explains the damn thing.
Your mom had a lot more energy than my parents are old.
My mom will... talk about energy. I'm just thinking of random times, like my mom chasing me around the house looking to fight with me, and me feeling bad for her because she couldn't catch me, so I just stopped and let her catch me to beat me up. Just, you know, random childhood memories.
That must have been fun.
Yeah, good stuff. On the Brown Lodge, exclusively on RadioBBQ.net.
Childhood memories.
You can check us out on the AOL Instant Messenger at the Brown Lodge, as many of you are. You can check out our chat room. The radio station's chat room, that is, Radio BBQ Chat. Also, check out our website, thebrownlodge.com. You can check out the cam portal, which I just had to adjust my camera to make sure I was dead center, because I am vain as all hell. You can go to the portal, and you can check us out. You can also go to the archive pages and page and check out some of our old shows. Lots of magical things, lots of magical treats. Check out RadioBBQ.net as well. Check out all the other shows. We've got a lot of great friends out there, DJ Newstyle, Eric Ryan. You got to check out, I should say Eric's Archives would be the show name. You should check out The Asylum. You should check out The Indigo Chicken, my favorite delicious dish, even though they call their show The Indigo Kitchen. Insanity with Bethany Nova, Dan Wright, when he's the head grill master out there.
Did you say the music that Mikey likes?
The music that Mikey likes is like pretty much a constant. Like every day, you can find some good stuff to check out. It's just a good time. Lots of good things, lots of good stuff here going on at the BBQ. If I forgot anyone's show, I'm sorry, I'm a jerk. I'm just randomly coming up with a couple off the top of my head. Oh, you know, Ogre's got his show coming back. Fantasy football magic happening. Things are exciting. Yeah. Good stuff. You know, it's an emotional mess. What's up?
I gotta sign up.
You gotta sign up for the big sports contests. Yeah, it's you know, I understand you're a big sports. You're not into the sports so much as you're into the cheering for
I just
it.
Like the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, for the wave.
As long as we're talking about sports and your love of sports, I just wanted to bring up something. Approximately 1 week ago, actually a little less than a week ago, on Thursday, there was a sports contest here. Involving the New York Metropolitans, and a fly ball came into the outfield, and Carlos Beltran, phenom, stud, superstar, who's actually not living up to the hype so far, but, you know, having a good year, starts, has a beeline on a ball and runs face first towards it, and on the other side of him...
Yeah, they almost took each other's heads off.
On the other side of him, another young gentleman... I'm losing my
guy,
I'm forgetting if it's Mike Cameron. Cameron, right? I'm losing my mind. Was running full speed at the same time. Hey, wait, whose voice was that? Running full speed at him, and they crashed face to face. A couple of silver spoons. And Mike Beltran missed a couple of days. Actually, he's still missing days, but he's supposed to be coming back into the lineup this week. And Mike Cameron had facial surgery last week to repair, like, broken orbital bone and cheekbone and all sorts of horrificness. It was, I heard a lot of people talking about the injury. I didn't actually see it happen. It was a day game, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, 100K? It was a day game.
It was
game
a Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, it was an afternoon.
How you doing,
game.
Little buddy?
I'm fine.
You don't seem fine. You seem like an angry man right now that just stumbled into the room.
No, I'm just tired.
What are you tired of?
Working.
Dude, don't work. It's overrated. But so this got me thinking. This whole thing. You think this is going to be a bad idea? You think the whole show's going to?
No, I just kept on clicking over the GUI server, and I was like, no, don't click on that.
Oh, okay. Sorry, computer talk here on the Round Lodge. Whee! But so this horrible accident. I heard a lot about it during the day. I finally saw the video footage of it. Pretty horrific. Not as bad as it was hyped up to be, because I was also expecting his head to fall off when I saw it. It was awful. But it got me thinking.
You were midair, man.
Yeah, I know. It was pretty bad news. Obviously, the dude broke his entire face, you know. As I'm watching this whole thing, it got me thinking about sports injuries and stuff of that ilk and of that. Like, are there any specific sports injuries that stick out in your head or things like that? I mean, I know you're a big sports junkie, but are there any sports things that you're really intrigued by that you could think of that popped to mind?
Stephon Marbury and Jason Williams.
Stephon Marbury and Jason Williams.
When they were both on the Nets. Probably the last game Jason Williams ever played.
They
got tangled up underneath the net and wrapped each other's legs around each other and just both fell and, like, broke their legs.
They both broke their... I did not see that
Jason
at all.
Williams was a lot worse off than Marbury.
He had to go kill his limo driver Marbury, because of the whole thing.
but Marbury ran out onto the... Marbury's mother ran out onto the field. And all you could see is this big fat woman saying, "Where's my son? Where's my baby?" And then,
"Where's my baby? And where's his legs?"
It's the best thing in the world when Marbury is like getting up and he's all messed up and he's looking around and then he turns and he sees her standing on the court next to him and he turns around and you see him without the words, "Oh, come on, mama."
It's like what is it, like the Chunky Soup commercials when with Donovan McNabb and his mom. Or was it Donovan McNabb with his mom, or was it Michael Strahan with his mom? Everybody with their mom.
Yeah, that's the Chunky Soup thing. Yeah, and even though I think the lady from the principal from City Guys played two of their mothers. Pretty sure Miss Noble.
Unbelievable. So that's a fine injury, I suppose. I'm gonna have to look into that. So I did a little web search and started looking up some injuries and things like that. Are you familiar with the Jason Kendall injury? Catcher of the Pirates, if I'm not mistaken.
Was that the one that happened a while back? Oh, no, that was Johnny Estrada and Troy Klaus I was thinking of. Well,
yeah, Jason Kendall's was like late 90s. I don't remember the exact date off the top of my head, and the web search that I had earlier didn't give it to me. It was like 90-something, 98, 99, 97, 90, somewhere. But, running to first base, his leg just disintegrated underneath him as he ran.
Remember when Dave Dravecki's arm cracked?
No.
Yeah, Dave Dravecki had cancer, and his arm cracked when he threw a pitch, and all you hear is... Oh, that definitely didn't sound like me thumping a microphone. All you hear is... Something like that. It sounded like a bat.
It's a hit!
Yeah. It sounded like a bat hitting a ball, but it was actually a shoulder blade cracking.
Yeah, I looked... obviously, the one that I was waiting for was, as long as you're talking about hearing that crack, was... I don't remember if it was a Sunday night game or a Monday night game, where big LT Lawrence Taylor decided that Joe Theismann's leg would look better in a couple of pieces.
Yeah, I never saw that. Heard about it.
You never saw that?
Nope. I've never even seen a replay of it.
Oh, my God. You know, to this day, Joe Theismann still hasn't seen a replay of it. He just can't stand to watch it. I guess, I don't know, feeling your leg break in a million pieces probably would make you not want to see it again.
By the way, his name is pronounced Theismann.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. His name was pronounced Theismann. But his agent told him his name was pronounced Theismann when he was in college.
I seem to remember hearing that story. He probably told it to Paul McGuire 400 times on that stupid telecast. That's dull as all hell. Those stupid Fs.
I can't wait for football to be here.
We had Monty on earlier, and we were talking about football starting to come. And, Runner obviously was over the top because, he gets crazy with the game. But, we got sidetracked talking about a couple other things. Yeah, I'm pretty juiced up. It's not 20-something days away. I was keeping track last week.
I watch the Falcons play in Tokyo, and that's it. I won't watch preseason now until the first week.
Preseason
kind of kills the whole mystique of football being back.
The mystique, like it's a mystery. You wonder what game they're going to try this week.
I wonder what's going to happen in this television program. I don't watch it. I try not to watch preseason football.
By the way, I'm getting an instant message about when we're talking about sports industry. Jerry Rice in the Super Bowl.
That would be against the Bengals, I guess, right?
he hurt himself? He broke something? I don't remember Jerry Rice ever having any sort of major injury in the in a Super Bowl.
Oh, Jerry Rice.
Yeah, Jerry Rice, the best receiver of all
time.
Didn't he
get hit really hard in like the Bengals Super Bowl? But like
the Bengals Super Bowl, you're talking about like 81, 82?
I think it was 88 I'm thinking of.
Oh, with the icky shuffle?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's not 81. I was thinking of the Kenny Anderson Bengals Super Bowl. Sorry, I didn't mean to get sidetracked there. I don't know. I don't remember Jerry Rice. I got to find some Jerry Rice injuries now. It's making me intrigued. Other ones I came up with. I found a great picture of a rugby player by the name of Craig Fitzgibbon, who's apparently some sort of legendary rugby player, running around with his finger hanging like literally entirely off. That it was just the skin that was holding the bone still there, but it wasn't holding it there. I mean, it's a finger. Granted, it's not that major of an issue compared to like dudes with legs snapping and bolts going in. But it was pretty awful picture. Dave Bust. Familiar with Dave Bust, right? The guy with the unluckiest name in all of football.
What happened to him?
He busted his leg in a game. He was involved in like a 5-way tackle. It was pretty bad news. But like I said, his leg—it's just the picture is really horrific. It's all bent up, and you just see the back of his shirt say BUSST. Bust.
Well, what about earlier this year? Matt Clement from the Boston Red Sox got hit with a batted ball, and he had blood pouring down his face. But it reminded me of Brooke Fordyce, I think, who was a guy who was a pitcher that came up through the Mets organization. And I'm pretty sure Brooke Fordyce got hit in the face with a ball that just...
I'm sorry. I just got the line of the night. I want him to call up and do it himself. DJ New Style talking about sports injuries, the best sports injury ever. Jim Abbott, his birth. For those of you who don't know, Jim Abbott had a birth defect that he only had one arm.
He had a stump.
Half of a stump.
He had one hand and a stump.
Yeah, he looked like Def Leppard's drummer, basically.
There's a better baseball story that's just way long ago. There was a guy named Pete Gray that had one arm, and the other thing just ended at the shoulder. Like, so there was no stump, no nothing. He was just one arm.
What did he play?
Baseball.
Position-wise?
I honestly don't remember. I know he wasn't a pitcher. I don't know, but he had to play the field. I don't know what he did, though. Man, I remember seeing... there was a movie about him.
The Natural?
Like an ABC, yeah, something like that. I think it was called Major League. It was like, but I remember just a picture of him swinging the one arm with the bat.
Oh, man. I gotta be
swinging the one arm with the bat. That was my sports review. That was my sports report.
Sports review. Yeah, honestly, I still have tears in my eyes. That was my favorite line ever. That just totally cracked me up. Well, Jason Kendall, I have it. Joe Thigh,
yeah, so
his
Matt
leg Clement, exploding.
Though, Matt, me, Brooke face. Fordyce got cracked in the face with a ball, and it caused a bunch of blood to pour down his face. I started thinking maybe Brooke Fordyce was the guy. I don't remember what Brooke Fordyce did, if he was a pitcher or a catcher. But
there
was a guy named Billy Swift that was on the Mariners and the Giants, and somebody hit the ball off his face, and it went off of his head and over the side railing into foul territory. That was pretty good.
Who was the guy?
Didn't Robinson Cano get like a shot like to the helmet? It's knocked his helmet off. Yeah, it was nasty. And then after that, he fouled one off in one bat from the same pitcher. He fouled it off his knee. Looked like he was gonna pass out. Then got up and then did another one when he actually got hit off of the inner leg and then his elbow or something like that. It was nasty. In two at-bats, he almost got decapitated in everybody.
He's a young guy. He can handle it.
Yeah, I know.
Crazy.
That headshot was nasty.
Crazy childhood memory, talking about hitting guys with stuff. Do you remember the Dodgers versus Yankees World Series, Goose Gossage throwing a pitch at Ron Say's head? Does that ring a bell to anybody?
That.
And it being like, everyone being like, oh,
I was
shocked.
Really,
yeah,
well,
yeah.
Obviously, we were both really
young.
Yeah,
it was
really
like 81 maybe?
I think it was.
Yeah, him laying, and I just remember Ron Say laying on the floor for a real long time during
that.
I don't know why, because he just said someone got hit in the head, that would be why, but yeah.
There was a guy named Torres, too, Mike Torres, I think. I don't know if he hit the guy or if he's the guy that got hit, but he was blinded. Somebody was blind. Mike Torres blinded somebody, I think. Yeah, I don't know.
It's really lovely. uplifting story. Dude.
Curtis Pride was deaf.
Did you ever get hit with a baseball that, you know, got fouled off or anything? It is a rough experience.
I had someone that was pitching a ball. How about this? Pitching a tennis ball. Skip off the ground underneath me and catch me in the nads. My ball blew up to the size of an orange. It was the most horrendous feeling in the world. So, I've never been hit with a real ball, but I've been hit with a tennis ball.
Hey, New Style's on the phone. You want to see?
What are we going to see?
See if he's there. Hello?
I bet he is.
You think?
Yo.
It's
the
DJ.
Brown of the Berry. What's going on, fellas?
Brown of the Berry, the sweet of the Lodge. It's our friend DJ Newstyle. What's going on, brother?
The sweet of the Lodge. What's going on? How you doing tonight, fellas? I understand you're talking about sports injuries.
We're having a terrific evening discussing Joe Theismann's broken leg, Jim Abbott's birth, you know, all the important things that have happened in sports injuries in the world.
Yeah, I do think that Joe Theismann getting whacked far trumps Jim Abbott's birth. I mean, he did throw a no-hitter, and that's far, far better than getting your leg crunched by a coked-up Negro.
These things happen, you know.
Who hasn't had that done to them?
I was going to say, if I had a nickel for every coked-up Negro that thumped me and cracked me something, you know, I'd have...
I'm going to get a cable special in Ryan because I walked to the deli and I looked at someone's shoes the wrong way.
Yeah, that same image I could see over and over again. The moment, like, you see the tension in the leg and see it start to stretch and start to bend, and then snap, it just gives. One of the worst. I should have brought some audio clips of this stuff. Maybe I'll try and get them for Wednesday's show.
Jamal Anderson, that was pretty bad too.
Anderson,
he hurt his leg because his leg just stayed, like, the lower portion below the knee just kind of stayed, and the rest of the body's kind of falling and twisting. But like his leg is just staying up in the same position.
Yeah, I don't know where this one's going to take your bit, but I think I have the number one sports injury of all time.
Please, by all means.
Owen Hart.
You know,
Sid Vicious breaking the leg coming off the turnbuckle.
Sid Vicious jumping was pretty bad, but he's alive.
Yeah, if you're going to mention turnbuckles, I think Owen Hart's the worst.
Yeah, the moment that death is the end of it, it kind of trumps everything else.
But we didn't get to see that.
I remember that pay-per-view. This is like that brief period where I was like really into wrestling. I'd watch it actually, and I remember the pay-per-view. They were like, everybody was horrified, like, oh my god, Owen Hart's dead, oh my god. And I look over at this one kid, and he's like, holy shit, Owen Hart's the Blue Blazer.
What a shocker! That was the heartbreak. I thought it was just the Blazer that died, but Owen Hart too.
They ruined the mystery.
Yeah, in all honesty, I remember that. I remember that being like, I remember being a little freaked out about it. I was never a huge, huge Owen Hart fan. I know everyone, I mean...
That was during the times we were watching pay-per-view.
I was watching it live. I watched it. I watched the whole thing happen. And did you show up at my house right after it happened? And when you walked up, I was telling you already that he died? Is that what happened?
I watched it with Rich, and I remember just us being like,
Rich, okay.
Why did it just pan to the announcers? And like the looks on like JR's face and Jerry Lawler's face, you're just like, and they kind of...
Yeah, JR's face finally straightened out.
Yeah. It was
this is the worst slobber knocker ever.
The worst is that they tried to carry on, and everybody was a wreck, and, like, Deborah's trying to get through her shtick, and
Deborah and
a disaster.
So what happened? He got killed in the ring?
You don't know about Owen Hart?
I just don't remember. Like, I thought he died.
He had this feathery Blue Blazer costume on, and they were lowering him into the ring.
Yeah, he was
in Kansas City.
He
raised up his arms or something like that, and one of the, like, the feathers caught the switch on the harness, and just... See,
I didn't know that it went that far. I didn't know that he actually started his descent. I thought it was while he was waiting to come down before it actually happened was the way I understood it. But I also didn't pay very close attention.
I thought he was supposed to jump before he was hooked up. And that's why he wasn't hooked up.
No, I think it might, there was some suing of a faulty switch and who knows. Which brings me to my next point.
It's a rough... Can you imagine the kids in the audience watching that? I've never seen any video of it. I guess it's not out there.
I'm sure.
There's like, there's one kid out there who still believes, like, no, he's not the Blue Blazer, man.
Owen Hart's still
alive. Like, they had to pull off the costume. It's like when you find out there's no Santa.
Or Santa breaks his neck falling from your
roof. I love that the selling point of it is the fact that people are finding out that it's real, not that a person's dead. It's great.
Well, yeah. I mean, he wasn't dead right then. I mean, he's gonna be, but I mean,
yeah, see, I don't know.
Kids just had to be horrified.
They're like, that's all he did to me, Dad. He just called them faggots and said they were faking it.
He's falling kind of fast, Dad.
If I remember correctly, they continued the event, and in that corner, there was a blood stain in the corner.
He hit his face on the turnbuckle, the pole, the metal pole, and snapped his whole neck.
For any of you who think that the turnbuckle's not hard, that's
yeah, I believe in the steel pole.
Yeah, it was the pole. It wasn't the turnbuckle
itself.
It was
itself.
The pole.
I remember Buff Bagwell having a really bad ring injury that I realized it was real when the show was delayed for an hour and a half.
Yeah, he almost broke his neck. He almost broke his neck in the ring.
Wasn't that
trying to do his finishing move? The Buff.
And I'm still this.
I love Buffy.
Wasn't it like
stuff.
Chris Benoit's fault? Not Chris Benoit.
No,
that other
Rick Steiner.
Dude. Yeah,
it was Rick Steiner's
guy.
Fault. He gave him a suplex and he snapped it too hard, whatever, and almost broke his neck doing it. He blasted him. I thought it was he was doing his finisher, the Buff Blockbuster. By the way, Buff Bagwell was one of my favorite wrestlers for the longest
time.
You
love all the super cocky wrestlers.
Yeah, to the point that for a good portion of my life, Buff, B-U-F-F, was my password for my ATM card, was my password for everything, because I love Buff Bagwell. He's the best.
Okay, now I'm just remembering one, and I can't remember the guy's name. He's like a white, blonde-haired guy that D'Lo Brown broke his neck.
Oh, that's Draws. The Draws.
Darren Drozdorf.
On that running powerbomb.
Running
right?
powerbomb. Dropped him on his neck and broke it. And he's in a wheelchair to this day. He's a former.
I'll tell you what. We know who won that match.
Okay. Who's laughing?
There's no greater equalizer than the neck snapping.
Yeah.
You're gonna go with the other N word.
Hey, come on. The Draws used to be a pro football player before that. Most popularly known, he was a Denver Bronco, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
Most popularly known for on Monday Night Football being so nervous and so excited that he puked into his helmet on TV. Hence, he got the nickname Puke.
Did he put the helmet back on?
I believe so. Now his nickname is I Can't Walk. But,
Crip. Wheels.
Oh, no. Speaking of, did you see Murder
Baby
Ball
steps.
Yet?
No, I haven't. You have it already?
Well, I told you. I wait for things to come out on cable like a year later. I'm psyched for Murder Ball, though, when it comes
around.
You need
to buy a bootleg or something.
I don't buy bootlegs since that woman got arrested a couple blocks from our house.
Oh.
Hey, now.
Hey.
Things happen. Wrestling. I remember the day after Owen Hart died, going into work, and I worked in a corporate sector at that point for an international telecom company, fairly big company.
Fancy.
And I walked into work, and the vice president of the field operations division, which I was a part of, came over to my desk and just said, "Dude, I'm really sorry," because I'd been the jerk who'd come into work carrying my championship belt and stuff like that, and like they knew I liked wrestling. It was just an odd, weird memory just to think of.
Hold on. You were the office LARPer even then.
I was LARPing as a dude. Don't even get me started.
The LARPer of modern day times.
The thing is, I was LARPing. I wasn't LARPing, but I will admit 100% to probably the single most embarrassing thing I've done in my life that was not going to ever be discussed on the show, not for my own reason, just because I didn't think it'd be interesting. I didn't live-action role-play back then. I used to online wrestling role-play back then.
Get out of here.
What were you even called?
Online wrestling?
Okay.
I'm going to suplex you now. Click, click, clack, click, enter.
Suplex.
LOL.
Suplex activated.
Just so you guys understand.
All right, seriously?
The whole concept behind this is something called...
He's going to do his finishing move, the Control-Alt-Delete! Get out of the way!
My computer crashed!
I've got to be 100% honest with you. I actually wrestled against a dude whose finishing move was the blue screen of death. His name was Gigahertz.
You've got to be fucking joking.
Okay,
seriously.
100%...
You've got to be kidding me.
A new
pinnacle of
a new low
geekdom.
For geekdom for me right here. Okay, 100% honest. This thing was called e-fetting. There were hundreds upon hundreds of these e-federations of people who made believe they were professional wrestlers. And would,
when you had a tag team match, did you have to alt-tab?
Okay, dude. How about I can go to the webcam right now and show you the tattoo of the name of my E-Federation crew.
Get the fuck out of here, dude.
I got news
no,
for you.
Serious.
A certain one... It's really not that funny, dude, all right? A certain 100K that is in the room with me right now could lift up his arm and show the same tattoo on his arm with his wrestler's name. Dude, I understand it's the geekiest, gayest, creepiest thing that human beings could do, but it was so much effing fun at the time.
I'll do it if we can get them in the webcam.
You know what? At the end of the show, that's what our webcam pick for the week will be. Pictures of our wrestling games. Yeah, it was...
100K, you have some bizarre tattoos.
I'm not buying it. I'm sorry. I can't buy that you'd actually permanently put ink on yourself to signify that you're a member of an e-wrestling group.
Well,
a chat room wrestler.
First of all, dude, it was
a Cobra symbol and a Decepticon symbol.
For the record, it was done on a message board, not in a chat room. First of all, but
it's almost like playing chess with a guy in Russia. Like you get the letter, it's like, oh, he took my queen.
In all seriousness, the tattoos had a lot more to do with like friends, just with a group of boys just like hanging out and getting like a similar tattoo, more than it had to do with the E-Fed thing. It just so happened that the E-Fed thing kind of tied into it, because a lot of the dudes that we did this online wrestling crap with didn't get the tattoo or didn't have anything to do with it. It was just about a couple of friends that you know got matching tattoos like homos basically.
Did Jared Downs get MVP on it?
So let's say you're getting pinned, okay? You're getting pinned,
okay.
and there's a whole thread on you getting pinned. Do you hit page up and hold it until maybe you like hold out hope and fight the guy off? Or how did you get out of a pin move?
You're really big on hot keys, aren't you?
It was more. This is the thing. Our fate was more in the hands of what was the leader of the E-Fed, the Decido? I guess he would be the equivalent of the DM.
Are you talking about the Diamond Stud, Nick Diamante, former E-Federation wrestler, then E-Federation administrator?
On a weekly basis, we would have to submit our role play to him, and then on strength of originality or you know whatever his determining factors were. It would be the night of the big card, and slowly at 8 o'clock on Sunday night or whatever, like each match would come out, and like you would wait to see like whether or not you won the match or not, and it was a whole scripted thing.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. The whole story is like exactly as 100K put it. You would write your interviews, your vignettes, your little blurbs that would appear on the wrestling show, and in your interviews it would be done in whatever format that you wanted. It was basically creative writing and someone judging it, if you really think about it. Honestly,
it was fan fiction.
It was fan fiction, but about characters that you invented.
The best is that when somebody would use a real wrestler, we would get so mad and hate them. Like, what a loser this guy is. Because seriously, like, at least be a little original. You know, you're going to come in and say, like, it's this guy fighting this guy, and, oh, I'm Diamond Dallas Page. And
I'm Macho Man 87, LOL. Who's the faggot who taps out in e-wrestling?
That was a whole issue that I had. I actually wound up getting into a fight with one of the E-Federation guys that I was with, because my character was never, you know, I didn't want him to ever tap out, and he made me submit a bunch of times. It really hurt my feelings. I didn't care if I lost the match.
My wrestler never spoke.
Sometimes it's better if they don't.
Wait, you mean which, your wrestler? You had a couple of wrestlers, my friend. I only rocked one character the entire time that I was E-Federation wrestler.
What was your character's name?
My gentleman's name was Jack Backstreet Suede. Otherwise known
as... Fuck out of here.
Otherwise known as the biggest biceps on Backstreet, the Legend Slayer.
There are people that call
What year this was that you picked the name Backstreet?
Probably about 96, 97 is where it started.
So pretty much at the height of the Backstreet Boys popularity.
Oh absolutely. That was the entire drive behind it. In all honesty, if you really want to know, the history behind it is because I thought that Michael Hayes, former member of the Freebirds, song Bad Street USA was the coolest thing in the world, so I was just doing a play on Bad Street.
I like the cheesiest song.
Bad Street,
Atlanta,
GA.
You like Shawn Michaels' song?
Shawn Michaels' song is the sexiest.
I hate him for the reason of... the fact that his song is so gay, his entrance is so gay, his outfit, the
He's just a sexy boy.
Chaps.
He's not your boy toy.
Hands off the merchandise there, Ronner.
It's good stuff. But, yeah, so we would write these little interviews, and based on what we said in our interviews, what they thought, we would start up rivalries with certain wrestlers, and then we would have crews that got together, our crew, of course, being the MVP, we had many battles with the KWO, the Klatt World Order. I hate those guys. Yeah, honestly,
to this day, I still hate those guys.
Travis and Trent Klatt. I can't even believe talking about this.
Every guy, I
hate to keep interrupting you, but you have to realize that, you know, on the internet there are gay dating sites, and this e-wrestling is perhaps gayer than that.
Thank you. Sorry, man.
In all honesty,
it might be the gayest thing on the internet.
In all honesty, you're overstating the obvious. I acknowledge the gaiety of it. I acknowledge the pure faggotiness of simulated homoerotic sport. Because wrestling itself is homoerotic. Like we're making believe we're faggies doing this. You know, we're doing this faggy sport. It was honestly the most homo, creepiest thing in the world. It makes my Dungeons and Dragons and my LARPing, which I don't do, but I go to by the way, Renaissance Festival is happening right now. We got to arrange a trip.
Yes.
Yeah. All that stuff. This is the creepiest, worst thing ever. But when I read that I had won the DOA Pro Heavyweight Championship of the World, I lost my mind and ran around the house holding my plastic championship belt in my hand, screaming to my then-girlfriend, now wife, "I can't even believe I did it, baby. I can't believe I did it." And she's looking at me saying, okay, great. So I was like, "You don't understand." So I went downstairs and I called 100K and I started explaining to him, "Dude, I know it's so retarded that I'm so psyched about this, but I am so juiced that I'm the DOA Pro Champion. I know this is gay." And I remember that in the conversation, 100K saying to me, "Dude, you got to understand. You're saying it's kind of gay, but, you know, it's kind of like almost more important than really winning a wrestling title, because it's not like a booker decided this. This was on your own skill that this happened." I remember this conversation like it was yesterday.
I'll stick by those words.
I like the fact that you, like, "I can't believe I did it, baby." Like, you just beat, you won a gold medal, or you won the Tour de France.
I did something other than write a paragraph.
If you actually got the order right at a sandwich place. "Big on pumpernickel, and I asked for pumpernickel, baby."
Yeah, pumpernickel.
If you had won a writing contest, though, that would be something people would say you could have legitimately be psyched about, and it's really the same thing.
Except for the fact that it's being judged by some 19-year-old kid from Canada, and it's a stupid wrestling story that we're doing. No matter how much I want to try and defend it as being somewhat cool, there's nothing even remotely cool about it. I love doing it. To the point
you can't, because you actually said, "I'm so juiced about this. I did it. I am the champ." You were picturing yourself that you're standing in the middle of a ring, and you're just flexing your arms, looking around. There's legions of fans out there. That alone puts you in that little schoolboy dream world, which is so faggy at an adult age. I'm sorry,
dude. It's pathetic. There's nothing I can say to defend it. It's pathetic.
I would just like to bring up a memory of when you and I and a couple of friends of ours went to SmackDown. And children were screaming at you and throwing things. You were standing up and waving your Kurt Angle medal.
I was working.
At the height of his hatred.
Hold on one second. I just wanted to be understood. I was working the Backstreet Magic.
One kid yelled at you a line I will never forget. "Have another hamburger, fatty." And people were laughing all over the place. You stood up and you went down the aisle when we were going to get beer, and they were booing you. They were booing you.
It was fantastic.
"Hey, you know what we did, buddy? You just turned into the ultimate heel. I just turned face."
In all honesty, when we went to this event, it was years after e-wrestling. I didn't do it anymore, but I will say that I definitely had a huge amount of satisfaction knowing that, without exaggeration, there were probably between 200 and 300 people all really annoyed at me because
they
I was cheering
you.
For someone in a ring. Yeah.
You were standing up and pointing to your medals like you won them.
Fifth grade classroom.
Yeah, it was great. Dude, I started snapping pictures of the people, and I have a picture of one of the girls flipping me the bird. It was hilarious. But, you know, that's a different story. We're talking about working crowds. I just want you to understand, I'm the one and only DOA Pro Heavyweight Champion of the World. I'm the two-time NWCW Heavyweight Champion of the World. I am the XCWF, one half of the XCWF Tag Team Champions of the World, and no one, and I mean no one, can take that away from me. So take that, Crystal Clear Cody Covington. Take that, Travis and Trent Klatt. And take that, Wolf Nebula.
Oh, my God. Seriously, did you put that on your resume that you're the DOA champion in the world?
How do you think I got my job that I got now, the DOA Pro Heavyweight Championship of the World? Yeah, it's,
Now, we need to poll your listeners. Who is cooler, Lumber Chris or the DOA champ Backstreet? Whatever the hell your name is. Backstreet Suede?
Jack Backstreet Suede. The biggest biceps on Backstreet.
Woo!
Oh, I wish the Yeehaw guy would call
it. Beat the online man. You gotta beat the online man. Woo!
Coming at you, brother.
You know.
No one's typing faster than Backstreet Swede.
No, see, the thing is, Backstreet wasn't about the typing being quick. It was more about the size of my font. it was honestly thinking about it. I acknowledge how horrible it was, but it was a golden age. We were the kings of the world for a short period of time. The MVP ruled e-wrestling, and I don't care. And that's all I'll say about that.
Hell yeah, I had a manager.
Your manager was...
Skinny Baxter.
Let us know if there's any way we can possibly read some of this stuff.
Okay, I got news for you. If you remember some of the earlier shows that we've done on... here on Radio BBQ, my buddy Dino, my buddy Vito, actually, excuse me, came in one of the earlier weeks when Runner was stuck at work. Vito was my tag team partner. Vito, I call him Dino all the time because his wrestling name was Dino Del Sante.
The Cornerstone.
Yeah, the Cornerstone, Dino Del Sante. And he and I, well, actually, the MVP, the name MVP, originated from the fact that we were managed by someone we called Socko Malicious Jones.
Oh, God. And Socko Jones was your manager?
Not in real life. Yeah. We just used his name and told him
who
he
used.
Yeah, I
got the one and only DOA champion. My name's Sacagawea Jones.
No, not Sacagawea. It's Socko Malicious Jones. But the thing is...
Malicious. Y'all gonna get sacrilegious with Sacamalicious Jones.
I think I like Sacagawea better.
But Malicious, you know, was his nickname, if you will, and our tag team was called Vane and Pain. So hence Malicious's Vane and Pain, the MVP. Just so you know. So I was at Vito's house this week helping him move some furniture and whatnot, and he comments to me, I found a bunch of old role plays and old cards. If you want to check them out,
role plays. They were events.
No, the role.
You want to like take your pants off and sit on the couch? We just moved in here, read some role play transcripts. Maybe I touch you.
Hey, bro, sit down next to me.
Vein and pain. I'll touch the vein and create some pain.
I'll spot you, is just what he said the whole time. Let me spot you.
We'll get Sack of Malicious in here. We'll have some coffee. We'll be naked. And no one's got to know except your listeners on your radio show.
Yeah, it's
I'll hold you down for the 30 count.
It's odd because I know this is. Good. Five count like King Kong Bundy. I found it to be a pretty embarrassing thing, but I didn't think that any of the listeners would find this even remotely interesting for whatever reason. That's why I never brought it up before. I have no shame about anything I've done in my life. I'm more than happy to talk about it. It just seemed like such a throwaway thing. Like, oh, he was gay and he used to do stupid wrestling.
How do you think that's throwaway?
I don't know. I guess, you know what? I have come in dressed in my full LARPing regalia. I forget this. You know, I maybe you guys are intrigued by this. I will go on my computer at home. I will try and find some role plays. Maybe I will post a whole section on the website of some of the old role plays. Do you have any of your old role plays?
I don't think so, because my computer crashed right around like after that. And
convenient, isn't it?
I think that you guys should act out the role plays. Like, one of you should be, like, Sacco Malicious or whatever, and Chris, of course, you'll play your character, because, no one is the DOA champion except you. And maybe you can get your buddy on there. You just got to really give this to your listeners. It's a gift. You need to give this to your listeners.
You know what?
Retardation?
You know what? You guys always wanted to do a play. I have no problem play acting and doing my own vignette from an old wrestling thing, whatever one I could find over the next week. I'll see what Dino has, see if he has anything. I mean, to the fact that I call him Dino because that was his wrestling name. The fact that Monty, who was on the phone with us earlier tonight, calls me Suede to this day, even though he was never involved with e-wrestling. There are people that just know me as Jack Suede and don't know me as Chris. There are people who actually call me that to this day. I mean, not the people in this room, because these are the people I've known since before Jack Suede was even a thought in anyone's mind. Anyone's mind, not just mine. Anyone's mind. You know, It's
You just got me really riled up now because I'm really angry because I remember that I lost the Intercontinental title to Trent Clatt because his brother came in the ring and hit me with a chair.
Dude, how you feel bad about that? How do you think I felt that I was about to lose the title to a former member of the MVP because he ran into the ring and hit me over the head in the middle of the match while I was defending my title against the Clats?
Oh, my God. All future listeners and people that just tuned in, we're describing something that they typed out on a message board. This is not actual wrestling. Crowlodge.
We actually lived it.
Yeah, in all honesty, it really was a huge thing for me, like, reading these big, huge things. And, like, I would have one match on a card, and they would print them out, like, essentially like you were watching Raw, and they would tell you what happens on the show. Oh, here's a commercial break. Oh, here's this interview. Here's this. Here's that. And it goes through it. And you could just flip through it and go to what your match is, find out if you won or not. I think
I've read them before.
I would insist on reading from line one to the end of the card and enjoy it as if I was watching the show.
Is there some kind of like deficit on girlfriends and jobs back then? I mean, like,
who
has this much time to set it up with commercials and stuff?
Okay, I got to be honest with you. I never did the cards. Like, I never ran a federation. The person who would run the federation was the person who wrote that. All I would write would be what my interview would be, which would decide whether I would get in a match or who I would fight and stuff like that. When we would get the card, you wouldn't know if you won, if you lost, how the match went, or anything like that. I will go so far as to say, though, I definitely did not have a girlfriend at the time, up until towards the end of it when I won the title, and, you know, my wife, like I said. You know, I mean, she knew I was going to win the belt, so she obviously wanted to, you know, tried to get on my gravy train.
Ladies love gold.
You know, why wouldn't they? I was a fairly... what's the word I want to use? It's normally social.
Because, like, you have a lot of tattoos. I have three. I have a very open, on my right arm, I have a very blatant, open tattoo of Homer Simpson. Which usually leads to the next question.
You got any other tattoos?
Yes. So I have to lift up my other sleeve on my left arm, and I have a tattoo of the sun for some reason. And right below it, I have the MVP tattoo. So, like, he says, and my name was Rex Mundi, by the way, which is Latin for King of the World. So
Rex Mundi, King of the World.
Exactly. Exactly. And so it would say MVP.
Fantastic creature.
I'd have to show everyone MVP Rex Mundi, and then, like, which leads to the next question.
What the hell is
who
that?
Who the hell's Rex Mundi?
Yeah, what does that mean? What? And then it's like, so sometimes I'll just say, nah, nothing, I don't know, some tattoo I got with some people. Like, if
that's
I don't feel like explaining, but like...
prize fighter in the 20s.
Like, sometimes I'll have to try to explain e-feds now to people.
Hold on 1 second. I want you to understand what he just said.
I didn't.
He said something like about a prize fighter from the 1920s, is what he said there. And that was always the vibe of Rex Mundi, King of the World!
Really quick background on that. There's a book called Holy Blood, Holy Grail. Basically, it's the Da Vinci Code before that guy wrote the Da Vinci Code. But in it, they refer to Rex Mundi, meaning Latin for King of the World. And the way it was written in the book, Rex Mundi, King of the World. And the thought that was always in my head from the second I read that was Rex Mundi, King of the World, like a 1920s news report or something.
That's why I just found that odd that he just said like a 1920s prize fighter. Just amused me. You could, but yeah, it is.
Speaking of prize fighters, Skinny Baxter. Besides Rex Mundi, his other. Skinny Baxter was originally a boxing manager, and his other wrestler in his fold was a young gentleman by the name of Sweet Sugar Black, and he was a former prize fighter as well.
Later on,
he provided the cocaine for the MVP mansion mostly, but...
I honestly don't know what exactly is real now. What's real and what's fake? What the hell are we talking about?
That was kind of where we were living at that point. That the lines between role playing and real life kind of were fake. That we would actually have conversations about things that happened in e-feds as though they were real things fairly often. You know, a few weeks back when we were talking about doing a show and talking about doing a show about fan fiction, Runner says, "Dude, we're totally talking about your e-fetting on the air." It's like, I just can't imagine it's interesting. I guess I'm wrong.
I think I might start it. My name's going to be DJ the Night Terror New Style. That's going to be my e-fed name.
Nice.
And I'm gonna take over the world. I'm gonna actually capture your title. That's
you should just be
do.
DJ Night Terror.
By the way, I'm 8 feet tall. I'm 5,000 pounds, and I can bench press Chevy Impala and shit out ammunition.
Nice. What's your finisher?
That's pretty good. And I pee lasers. That's what I do.
Pirate.
That's my move. Can you work me into the card? That's what I want to know.
But you have to do crunches to be able to get the pee up, so you have to drop down in the middle of the ring.
I gotta beat the jobbers. I gotta beat this guy. I just signed up as Lenny Pop of 101.25. Gotta beat him first. But then I'll work my way up, get the title.
You know, it's really easy to make fun from a distance. If you lived the magic that was E-Fetting in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, you would have... You would have been
eating a lot of chips and crying.
I was going to say, you probably did have the option to do that. You simply chose not to because you're a human, not a geek that sits in front of a...
I actually didn't know it existed, and if I had, I probably would have had a lot more laughs in my life. I probably would have printed it out and framed it, just as an example of what society should never become. I'm sorry, guys. I mean, I know this meant a lot to you, because you did tattoo it on your arm.
No, again, like I say, the tattoo...
I am just fucking dumbfounded right now.
Yeah, the tattoo had a lot more to do with a bunch of boys, like you know, hanging out and having the same tattoo more than it had anything to do with the wrestling thing. But, which sounds almost gayer than it having to do with the wrestling
thing. You gotta come up with, like, a new acronym. I mean, you can't keep explaining it, like, you know, 100K just said, you gotta always, you know... go into it, or you know, or skirt the issue. You got to come up with some kind of acronym.
Okay.
For MVP.
I'm telling you, I've had to explain it. Like he said, I get the same questions all the time. Who the hell's Jack Backstreet? What do you like, the Backstreet Boys? It's always the way the conversation starts. What I say is,
you should tell people that's one of the original members of the Backstreet Boys that was kicked out for being gay.
He got kicked out in the Beatles, except it was just the Backstreet Boys.
Yeah,
Backstreet Best.
The way that I explain it is, it's actually a pretty dumb tattoo, a dumb tattoo in theory, because it's, I don't know, me and a bunch of my friends used to make believe we were wrestlers, and that's what I say my wrestling name was. That's the way I explain it. I don't bother getting into the E-Fed or any of that. I just let them know that's my wrestling name, and the MVP is my group of friends that all were going to be wrestlers one day. And then I distract them with the fact that I have a tattoo of Jesus with a Superman logo on his chest, and that usually distracts them enough that they forget about the whole wrestling thing.
By the way, I still owe you money for that tattoo.
Jesus?
Do you really?
The MVP tattoo. Well, the agreement was right after that, I was going to go pay for us to get tattoos. I was going to get the Mets logo, and you were going to get the Dolphins logo, and I was going to pay for it as payback. But what year did we get these tattoos?
The statute of limitations is not over on that. I'll cash in on my Dolphins tattoo this year.
What year was it really, though?
98, 99, somewhere around then.
Wow.
It had to be at least 99, because...
All I remember is we were really drunk when we got them, and it was like 11 o'clock in the morning. It was definitely like 12 o'clock in the afternoon when we went.
It was something
probably
like
a tough
that.
Bus trip from one of your E-Fed masters.
I think we got together specifically that day.
At a convention.
You know, guys, we got a big card coming this week. We got to really start working on our chops.
Everybody wear your thongs and your singlets.
Are you guys up on all your idioms? We got to really start working on our writing style. All
right, if you remember correctly.
You bring the thesaurus. I've got the dictionary.
We got the guy that does Crimson most of the writing. He puts you in a bra and panties match.
Everybody comes for ready for a bra and
panties
match.
I wanted one of those so bad, it just never happened.
Yeah.
That's young.
So we got together specifically to discuss where the MVP was headed that day. Me, you, and Wolf Nebula, the third member that got the tattoo with us that day, we specifically got together. You picked me up at my house at like 10 o'clock in the morning so we could get together and discuss where the MVP was headed, because it was like a big turning point. You know, it was a crucial time for the MVP. So we got together, and then what happened is we got together, got drunk, and then we were getting tattooed within 2 hours.
Okay,
I don't think we ever actually decided where the MVP was heading, though.
I just got to be 100% honest with you. I have no shame about anything in my life. I am beet red with embarrassment right now, because I can't believe that this really happened, and it's absolutely true that we actually planned where our E-Fed careers were going.
And by the way, the third guy brought his wife along.
And what? She also joined the E-Fed.
Oh, God, that's right.
Mahavishnu Pride. No, she couldn't be Jack Backstreet Suede.
No way.
We're not talking about real life, dude. You're blurring the lines a little too much.
Okay, so she could beat you up in real life.
Yeah, oh, in real life, she'd floor
anytime
me.
Anytime you take ink and take something fake and put it on you, like MVP, like you're branding yourself with your name and your league, even though you did it as some kind of like bonding thing, weird bonding thing.
Sexy
you're
bonding.
You're kind of blurring the lines. Anybody who's got that tattoo has been blurring the lines.
No, I understand. I just
you must have been doing a lot of lines.
Without question. That's actually probably about the end of the doing the lines days. Well, a couple of years later, anyway.
You wake up in a bathroom, you look at your arm like, what the fuck is MVP?
Actually, you know, the more
who the hell is this guy? Why is his pants down?
The more I'm thinking about it.
That was a different day.
That was a fun day. Actually, by the time I got the tattoo, the drug days were over for me at that point, because I was already with my wife now, well, that at the time girlfriend.
Yeah, those definitely weren't drug days. They were
drunken.
No, come on, drunken days.
What's that? Try and save face a little bit, blame it on something. No, it was just stupid days. It was just being drunk and having
that's
fun.
That's us sober.
Yeah, you wait till you see us on coke. Hey.
If we were coked up, we would have bought the tights that afternoon.
For $900, repair the tights. By the way,
gotten belts made up with your names on it.
And well, he said he came to work with a belt.
Okay, I did order a belt.
When did you get that belt? Actually,
I didn't. Oh, I would. So when the WCW was selling them, I absolutely bought a belt. And they had interchangeable nameplates that you could take off it, and depending on whose name you wanted on it, or you can get one made. I was eventually supposed to be getting one made for my belt. Our brother, an E-Fed wrestler himself, Jerome Downs, passed away a couple of years back, and my belt went with him at the wake. Sorry, didn't mean to bring everything to a real uplifting note, but that's where my championship belt is now. I gave it to his parents. And I'm actually supposed to be getting a tattoo of, that's if you want to talk about tattoos, I'm supposed to be getting a tattoo of that championship belt with his name on the belt one of these days is what I'm going to be getting.
See, but nobody would ever degrade that one.
Yeah,
though,
not so easy to make fun of e-wrestling anymore now that death is part of the story, huh?
Yeah, so Jim Adams got a fucked up arm.
Well,
got a little claw, doesn't he?
But,
not a claw, honestly.
But yeah, no, I did buy a belt. And I love buying the belt. I remember walking around the mall so stoked that I had the belt, throwing it over my shoulder, walking into Applebee's with it, getting myself some riblets.
10-year-old kids were so mad.
I'd come over to your place to watch pay-per-views, and you'd be sitting there with your championship belt on your lap and your shorts, and just and three televisions on, like a football
underwear
game.
Underwear and the belt, usually.
A football game, the wrestling pay-per-view, maybe video games on the other television, and we'd all be crammed into your garage /bedroom.
Yeah, in my bedroom in my mom's basement.
Dark parking lots, wearing your belt, not even looking around, because you know you got the belt on. They're going to be scared.
You actually pointed something huge out. We met to discuss the fate of the MVP in your room, which was in your mother's basement.
Absolutely.
You picked me up at my mother's house.
There's nothing that can be said. We were real champs of the people. We were really going far. We were the MVP. By the way, we've been sidetracked for a little bit. Just in case you've been able to make it through this and don't know what in God's name you're listening to, it's the Brown Lodge, exclusively on RadioBBQ.net. Check us out on the AOL Instant Messenger at the Brown Lodge. Check out the chat room, RadioBBQ chat. Learn about e-fetting at thebrownlodge.com. All the magic that is making believe you're a wrestler. Skype us up at RUNNDOGG or call the hotline 718-360-1413.
And you remember Bigfoot from... I'm sorry. What's that?
718-360-1413. Bigfoot from...
The Howard Stern Show?
From certain acts as being a really creepy dude with gigantic knees.
Did he have big knees?
Yeah, he had like Lyme disease or something. He had really big...
He's dead.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, Matthew McGrory.
Wasn't he from Westchester? Sorry.
I thought he's from Canada.
No, you're right, Chris. He's from Westchester, Pennsylvania.
Off, you know, you kind of look at the camera and then just keep walking.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a little hairy.
He was filming Andre, Heart of the Giant, when he died.
No, it was good. You're on Bigfoot, the actual Sacagawea. Not Sacagawea, Sasquatch. That's what you're
talking about. Sacagawea.
You're thinking about Sacagawea.
You don't need manager of the DOA.
Yeah, no, what we're talking about is Bigfoot. He's most popularly known like from Howard Stern, but where I remember originally seeing him from, which is why I brought up he being from Westchester, is on one of the original Land Speed videos, which is the original CKY. Why the original Jackass stuff with Bam Margera, Margera. They had
what's that called?
Oh no, forget it.
Called what?
Land Speed.
Lance Speed was the skate video. CKY was the band.
I don't remember it being called
Can't Kill Yourself.
But it doesn't remind... I don't really know what it would have been called anyway. I don't know.
Yeah, those are the only names.
It's okay.
But on their one of their first videos, they had a close-up of this guy working as a bouncer at a door in some bar, and you just hear them overdubbing while they're looking at this guy who's probably 7 foot what? Just 6 foot something? What's, does it say it in his death thing there? He was gigantic. And he,
the deep voice, 7 foot plus actor...
Because I think he may have stolen my wrestling idea.
He was actually finishing a movie called Andre, Heart of the Giant.
Oh, no.
And,
But, well, he didn't get to.
Poor guy. Poor little fella.
The big but man.
Was he bigger than My
tiny,
Giant
tiny
that
heart.
Was on the Nets?
My Giant?
My Giant.
Oh,
Billy Crystal, that guy was
oh,
on the Nets.
Hi, I get it. You're really tall, and you're going to be mine. You're my giant. Yeah, this is a great movie.
Oh, God. Who is that?
I cannot think of the guy's name. Hold on, hold on.
Billy Crystal?
He did a bunch of NBA commercials, too.
I remember they released him a couple of years ago.
Yakov Smirnoff?
No.
Yes.
I'm on it. I'm on it, guys. I'm on it. It's George Mirosan.
Thank you. Woo! Good stuff.
He's George Mirosan.
Yeah,
he started as Max the... He couldn't even have a like a name you could pronounce in the movie. It got an honest 4.8 out of 10 on IMDb. That's stout. That's a stout rating.
Not like, oh, man. That's just freaking me out thinking about that dude, thinking about his knees, because that was the one thing that always stuck in my head out of that video. Well, the thing from Lance Speed is as they're overdubbing it, as you see him there, and they go, it's like it's what they're overdubbing with. It was just really creepy and mean. But he's sitting, and his knees were gigantic, like way bigger than his legs, like his joints were huge. I think he had Lyme disease or something like that.
Really? Man.
I mean, he looked like he did to me.
You can't tell he wears his clothes so bad.
Lyme disease can cause you to grow...
Yeah, it affects your joints. Lyme disease really affects your joints bad, and they get swollen, messed up, and a lot of fun. It's the disease show.
Like from a tick Lyme disease?
Like from a tick Lyme disease. L-Y-M-E apostrophe S disease.
Wow.
Thank you.
I didn't know that.
So don't get bit by any ticks. So you'll either get that or Rocky Mountain Spotted Fever, which is an awful, awful mess.
Ow.
Sorry, screeching halt. Just wanted to let you guys know about some tick diseases. As much
very
as
good, you know. It's good to know. You got to keep people informed. So.
I will tell you that Jack Backstreet Swede never got bit by a tick, never had any sort of issues with anything like that, though he did have a drinking problem at one point and caused him to consider quitting the Federation, just so you guys know.
Well, I want to let you know that DJ Night Terror New Style never got even the common cold, okay? He never had chicken pox one. Okay, he's as healthy as a horse, and he'll shit ammunition on your ring.
I know, from what I understand, he has lasers
on you or something.
Now that you're old, when you do get chicken pox, you'll die from it.
It's really messed up, dude.
So,
you know, I got the chicken pox when I was... Well, it's not him. We're blurring that line again. He's talking about the Night Terror. That's his alter ego.
Oh, okay.
That's one of his alter egos.
Oh, don't put me in your boat.
Dude, you're the Night Terror... What? I know. I'm not going to put you in the category of someone that has an alter ego, because I know your driver's license says Mr. DJ and your last name is New Style. I understand. There's no alter egos involved any place in here.
Not at all.
No, I understand. Dude, I'm the last one to make fun of anybody for anything like that, though, obviously. But, you know, these...
Quite frankly, I'm hurt.
And, definitely not Ken holding that sword in that picture.
You suck. Well, I was trying to see if maybe I could... Throwing a hit or two by maybe lopping off a limb or two or a hand.
You got to do, hey, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with it. With your samurai sword, just getting yourself all samurai'd up.
That's
even
it.
Though it was a World War II sword, if I remember correctly, but it's a samurai.
It was like a Nazi field dress saber or something.
You mean your samurai sword? You were wearing a ninja outfit in the whole thing. Wouldn't you
I
be
was,
oh,
I was
that...
wearing my ninja robes. I was actually. Going to come on with some samurai outfit. I don't know.
Is the Night Terror actually a ninja of sorts?
Of course not. He's an auto mechanic. Come on, read up. You gotta catch the old threads, buddy. Check the fuck out.
I am so tempted to put up an Eve Wrestling Fed message board specifically on the Brown Lodge website just so we could hear what people's characters are.
I love that he's an auto mechanic.
Obviously. Like, not so much that he's an auto mechanic, that it's like it's such a given. Like, dude, obviously he's an auto mechanic.
I mean, dude, when he comes out and he's got his 48-inch biceps, he's got a tribute to the Junkyard Dog right on it.
He's got a damn near life-size tattoo of the Junkyard Dog right on his right arm.
I wonder which actual wrestlers would join the E-Fed just to try to recreate their old glory.
Oh, dude, I guarantee you a bunch of...
Nikolai Volkov.
I've got to be
100%... The Iron Cheek.
100% honest with you. About a week ago, I was talking to someone about the new WWF game coming out, and the new WWF game has an online mode where people could wrestle online. And in the conversation, the words were, dude, this is the future of E-Fedding. Actually happened 100% in the conversation. At which point I said, dude, I'm married. I don't have the time for that anymore. I'm just LARPing now. I don't have the time to E-Fed more. I have to focus on making spells.
I love pretend.
Well, there's nothing wrong with love and pretend. You're just as God made you, sir. Fake as can be.
By the way, I set up, there's now a Brown Lodge Survival Football League.
Ooh.
Courtesy of Yahoo. I'll post it on the forum.
I'll put it on the website, and we'll post it in the forum, all that sort of stuff as we hit the football. Yeah, let's try and macho it up again. Let's get away from this fantasy fake world.
Guess what? The password to join is LARPer. That's the only thing that reminded me of it.
I didn't even know it existed. You just created it now while we were doing the show?
No, I created it yesterday when I was... when I was on the phone with you and you were yelling at me for not joining the Salary Cap Football League, I went and I joined... I created...
Fantasy football. Three different fantasy football leagues I'm in. Fantasy wrestling, fantasy LARPing, fantasy everything. It's just a fantasy. Whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not the real thing. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sometimes a fantasy, whoa, oh, 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 is all you need. You're listening to The Brown Lodge exclusively on RadioBBQ.net. You can check us out on the internet at TheBrownLodge.com. Hit us on the AOL Instant Messenger, The Brown Lodge. Hit the chat room, RadioBBQ Chat. Skype us up at RUNNDOGG or call us on the hotline, 718-360-1413. I'm not even going to say it again. Don't even bother. I'm going to take a couple minutes and talk about some things if I can. I'm going to sidetrack and get away from this fantasy if I can just for a few minutes. We talked about the gay... we talked about the gay Jimi Hendrix. What the hell is this? Oh, Tansel Phillips and Tim Holloway. You familiar with those two guys?
Tansel Phillips is... China's brother?
almost, pretty close. Tansel Phillips was a highway patrol sergeant, as was Tim Holloway. They pulled over Ricky J. McWilliams, who was an honorary police captain or something down in Tennessee. He got pulled over on a DWI by these two guys, and based on their testimony, he kind of got off as a result of it because. It was a thing down there. This whole honorary badge that they were giving out down in Tennessee was kind of looked at as almost like a get-out-of-jail-free card, kind of like the PBA cards here in New York, but a little higher up. It was more of like a more respected get-out-of-jail-free card as opposed to the one that sometimes a cop in New York will just look at you and tell you, go scratch, and someone will say, all right, we'll grant you the courtesy. Well, these two guys kind of let this guy who was affiliated with the Democratic Party down there, they let him off on a DUI charge. Surprisingly, the Democratic governor down there this week recommended both these guys to be promoted. I think that's fair. I think that's fun. Just a little interesting story that stuck out in my mind.
So where did this come from? Is somebody like...
The Tennessean, the newspaper that was just pointing out the fact that, Tennessee is the most corrupt place in the world and they hate it.
I thought Jersey was the most corrupt place in the world.
Jersey's
the worst place in the world.
I had a warrant for my arrest out in Jersey, and I got pulled over. And,
rightfully so, you're LARPing.
Hey, I got one too,
my home state again.
Protecting the homeland, they are. I had a warrant for my arrest out in Jersey, and while the warrant was out for my arrest, I was pulled over. They ran my license, and they said, all right, sir, have a good night. So I got no problems with New Jersey.
Try going back.
This was a few years ago. I would think the statute was is already gone on that. It was a silly
unlike
thing.
Your dolphin tattoo.
Soon enough. It's not here yet. It'll be there soon enough. Let's see. What are some other odd things that I was thinking of?
Wait, let me.
Is this you in a samurai suit?
I wanted to say, do you think that Jim Abbott's batting average is over 100? Yes or no? And then I'll leave you. I want to hear your answers.
Did he ever play in the National League, though? Because there was no interleague play.
He did bat.
He did.
I have something to deal with you with New Style just for a second. Is this picture of you in a samurai suit with a big giant sword?
You haven't been following the show at all? Don't you remember we discussed this the other night?
Really?
Dude, you had a couple of too many drinks during the show.
I guess so.
Yeah, no, we had a whole big discussion about that. It's actually a Nazi heirloom.
I thought that was the one that he was holding over his head. He's in a samurai suit in this one.
Oh, there really is one of him in a samurai suit?
Slow down. It's not passed down to me. I don't want you calling it an heirloom.
You
got it at your initiation.
Go up on the chat room, dude. There's a picture of him in a full samurai regalia.
You've got to be kidding me. I was talking about the samurai suit thing.
No, I remember the one with him holding it above his head. That's the sword he took off of
him.
See?
Oh, my God.
We interrupt this replay with a telephone call. You're on the Brown Lodge.
Hey, Runner.
Hey, holy crap.
Hey, it's 100K here. I'm live from the Georgia Dome. I just wanted to call you with an update.
Oh, what do you got?
All right, the Falcons are up 14-7 right now. The second quarter is getting ready to wind down. Well, not really. There's about 6 minutes left. It's been a great game so far. There was a big fight before the game. Two guys got ejected. It's been quite emotional.
Don't you think there's a little bit more to talk about?
Well, hold on, Al. Here's your beer, buddy. Oh, sorry. The guy next to me ordered a beer. I had to hand it over to him.
Everything
okay? Wow, it's really loud in here. I could barely hear you.
Well, yeah, you're at the game.
Yeah, I'm at the game. I'm at the Georgia Dome right now. We're here. Listen to the crowd. Hold on. Yeah, they're really crazy.
Damn, that's loud. I don't know how you could possibly hear me.
What was that?
Nothing.
Oh. Good point.
Well, I got nothing.
Yeah, so anyway, I just wanted to give you an update. It's 14-7 right now, and things are pretty wild here at the Georgia Dome. There I am. I think the camera just passed me if you're watching right now. I know that's Michael Vick, but I think you might have seen me anyway on the screen.
That's close enough.
So right now it's 3rd and 16. Atlanta's winning by 7, and there's 6:32 left, and Donovan McNabb has the ball. All right. Well, I just wanted to let you guys know what was going on at the game.
Thanks, man.
It's crazy here. It's really loud. So wait, I could barely hear you. So I'm gonna get going.
Okay, well, with that, I'm going to probably end the show. Thanks for your the update on Sports Talk 101.
All right, no problem. If anyone wants to pick me up, I'll be outside the Georgia Dome, Gate B. So I'd appreciate the ride back. Thanks.
And there'll be a tailgate party waiting for you, too.
Oh, yeah, of course. All right, I'll talk to you guys later.
Have a good night.
I will.
Bye. And with that, we are ending the Brown Lodge. This is Runner. That was 100K at the Georgia Dome. Chris is out on a mission. And have a good night. Goodbye, everybody.
Radio BBQ.
Radio BBQ. Radio BBQ.
Radio BBQ.
Radio BBQ.
Radio BBQ.